Hello, and I think. Radio. Oh, here we go.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you shouldn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Okay, it is still Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio once again. It's on. I'm back, and man, that sucked a lot. I was trying to do things. I had Nick call in. Nick couldn't call in. Where do I find my song so I can turn it off? I guess it'll fade out. Who cares? Listen, here's what's going to go on. I have my other guest, and he's going to be calling in roughly 10 minutes, I would think. Nick, I apologize. This was not my fault. I will have you back on next week. Make sure you just send me your picks, like, you know, before tomorrow night. I'll make sure I add them to the thing. I'll do the football talk later tonight, or maybe I'll do a quick one tomorrow night or something like that with you, Nick. I'm not really sure about that, but I'll do the football talk. Just send me your picks. Again, I apologize for not being able to, you know, accommodate you and put you on the show, you know, earlier and do the whole football talk like I wanted to. Now that the technical difficulties have been worked out, and during so, I probably drank like 20-something ounces of beer while I was waiting and frustrated and trying to text, or not even text, like chat message the Blog Talk Radio staff, and they helped me, and I thank them for that. After much shit talk about them, I thank them for that. I am going to go ahead and play a track and go pish because I, you know, drank a lot of beer while I was trying to get this shit back up. And then hopefully soon after, I will have my guest, Joker, and we will get right into this like I always do. So we're going to make a show out of this one way or another. I might have lost almost an hour, but this bitch ain't over. So I'm going to play this track. Quickest break I ever took, if I was starting at the time, I, you know, whatever. All right, here we go. Play this. Come back. Do the thing. Check it.
Yeah. Turn that shit on. Word up. Bitch, you nasty niggas.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Y'all niggas is dead ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My rapper and my niggas all city and shit. Word up. Yo, Mega. Fuck that. Fuck that Brooklyn shit, nigga.
What? Monthly goals by the creep code. We blaze, y'all won't see those. You just feel them. We raise the stakes in this game like helium. The new millennium got me in mode for killing them. Greenbacks, I want a mill of them with no minimum. Strictly max out, the alls put the flack out. Niggas be frontin', we take the back route. Stay with that style, original. Wanna act wild? City putting contracts out. Cause we stack now, with none to match out. Formula, see it clearly through my cornea. This goes out, the niggas on the corner, Mega's on ya. Rap performer. No diploma. I sip a lime Corona, keep my comfort coma.
Yeah.
East New York soldier.
What? Fuck that. That's that all city shit. Yo, Greg Valentine.
Yeah, the beast be busting like Patrice. You better have that bulletproof vest under your fleece.
What?
And a clever scheme up your sleeve, just to say the least. Between the thugs and the police, shit'd never be peace. Consolidate, raise your wage, your hourly rate. We probably for higher stakes, buying flyer estates. See this criminal life, like a roll of the dice. Niggas holding their ice. Wild buzz on the slice. Yo, it's sweltering hot. In this ghetto melting pot. Without the faggot ass niggas trying to steal what I got. As if that ain't enough. Jace is raiding the spot where we eat at. But tonight, it's where they bleed at. Cleaning with the flames over their rain is over. Praying to Jehovah. Jig is up, the game's over.
All city what? All city what? Fuck that. Yo, Sticky.
What's up, nigga?
Come here, nigga. Fuck that.
Man.
Let these motherfuckers know, nigga.
New
special ass. What?
Uh-oh, here it does, huh? Mouth of dungeon, say goodbye to your loved one. Can't hurt from the dum-dum. Kick your rap shit, I cut out the tongue, son. I'm in this rap shit for the love sound.
Hit
the stage as soon as the blood down. And you don't want none, so be gone. We the wildest, you get the mileage. I'm up from fucking motherfucking murder one time.
Yeah.
Walking target, kill any rap artist.
Yeah.
Hate the guts and hope that you die. If you're not an ally, then your ass gotta fry. Two life for a life without no remorse. You fucked up big time. You should have finished me off, nigga.
Fuck
what?
That. Fuck
what?
That. Yeah.
You
don't
treat me like that fool.
Yo, Lefty. I got a new nigga for y'all niggas. Yo, fuck that. Step up, nigga.
I'm going with jack swings that bit arms like tank tops.
Yeah.
A bunch of proper brands that are aspects will make your bank stop. Guaranteed to make your block hot. We running this box. We tired of chiseling rocks.
Yeah.
We straight up fucking in villains on yachts. Got the big apple on smash like mops. We live in hell, really? So we just vanish and rock. Paper telling me we all dying from a leg dot. So fuck it. It's either get or get got. So what, brand?
Yeah.
I'm closing down shop. I don't give a fuck about getting popped. Them thugs probably heard. Lefty two guns is a lie. It's my time to go. Player, I'm trying to go spitting. For the dough, these niggas just press G-O. Wow, shootouts. Reaching for the Glocks on my way to getting dropped. Still spitting. 360 peel, I was hooked up in a six still shitting. Call it murder. Precise aim, I ain't trying to hit missing.
Fuck that. Yo, X1, nigga.
What, nigga?
You better fucking do
what?
This shit, nigga.
What?
Fuck that. Special nasty niggas. Fucking taking these streets. That nigga
what?
What?
All you crab niggas, I don't even like your style. If it wasn't for love, you'd be dead right now. Speak upon the gun law, X is laying it down. 32 rounds, spraying your town. Take a dirt bath under the ground. Be a man, take your loss.
Yeah.
Die with the sacred cross.
Yo,
6 feet
that.
Deep on the basement floor.
Say that shit, nigga.
What
the hell?
What
fucking shit?
Yeah. Be a hard rock and see where you end up at. Before my heart stops, kid, I'm trying to see some crap. You better get dropped, dog, just read the facts. Think a gunshot leaves about to swing your back. I'm running coke spots, wild ass, Oliqua cat. X-critical thoughts from criminal thoughts. Cause of your physical laws, your visual laws. X-million now, nigga, triple the cost. I triple your boss.
What? Fuck that, bitch, ass nigga. Fuck that, bitch, ass nigga. Fuck that. Fuck that, bitch, ass nigga. Fuck that, bitch, ass nigga. Word up. Fucking All City. Motherfucking Onyx. Motherfucking Fredo Star talking to you, nigga. Fucking Sun C, nigga. The fuck is up? Yo, Sticky, what's up,
word
nigga?
Up.
Gang Green in this motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
Bubba Smith and shit. Let the fuck everybody up. My nigga 230 up in this motherfucker. DJ LS,
bitch, you nasty.
Fuck any DJ up, fuck that.
Any DJ,
bitch, you nasty. Word up, fuck that.
Niggas don't know.
My motherfucking brother Hussein,
fuck
Big
that.
Chris, fuck that.
Niggas ain't seen shit.
Bitch, you nasty. Yo, eat him up. Get the fuck up out of here.
Exactly, fuck that. So, like I say, couple minutes, I should have Joker on the line, I hope so. I'm going to try to repeat some of what I said earlier on, just because I'm going to try to edit that whole first part out of the show. So you'll hear this show hopefully seamlessly on the download. But seamless is kind of out of my vocabulary. So it's probably going to be horrible, and I'll just like put out a mass message on Facebook, like just skip to the 1 hour. But that's what I'm gonna do anyway. So yeah, I thought that Gangnam style stuff, the dude looks like this is so horrible to anyone that already listened to this live, but the dude looks like Sonny Ono. He's like MC Hammer without lateral movements, and I don't understand what the buzz is. Yeah, I mean, it looks like a dude trying to, you know, like you got to piss and there's like a three dude line shit at a party. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy shit. I don't really know what goes on there. Not getting into that politics thing again, so we could scrap that. You either heard it, you didn't, and I'm sure, you know, more will come up about that nonsense because, you know, it's flooding our airwaves. I don't even know what's on my TV right now. There's like bitches choking bitches. Oh, the big, okay. I think it's like South Beach Co. Or no, Operation Repo. Like that giant chick is just choking the fuck out of somebody. So, I don't know. There's that going on. Man, you know what? I've watched a decent amount of the NXT, or formerly known as Florida Championship Wrestling, lately. And I gotta tell you, Chris Hero's looking like a fucking beast. They got him fucking beasting out in there. He's looking dominant as hell. He's running around just like crashing people, like he's just, you know, using that like ruthless aggression type attitude, and he's been like, he's putting it on motherfuckers. He's feuding with Ricky Steamboat Jr. and shit, and I think he's looking great. I'm glad that they're putting him out there. Like, I've never seen Hero with a beard like that neither. He's got like that Brody Lee beard shit going on, so I never seen that before. Good stuff. I wish I actually would have tuned into this sooner, and it's a good alternative and additive to the stuff that I watch with WWE, because I'm so often disappointed by it, you know. And then, you know, I get on with that, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, the cool stuff, man. And then you see Tyler Black's their world champion over there. You know, good stuff. But anyway, let me figure this out. I think I might have Joker on the line. Hey.
You do.
Fantastic. So, as I, you know, I had told people before, I would have you on, and for those who don't know, you had posted last week that you're going to be stepping away from wrestling, and, you know, although that's upsetting to me and many other people who enjoyed watching you in the ring, we really don't know any background to it. We don't know, you know, what led up to this or any of that. And I figure maybe you want to, you know, give us some background, and, I mean, where maybe this started rolling and got you in this mind state, and, you know, what happened?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to thank everyone for their messages on Facebook. And, like, you know, what you just said earlier, I appreciate it. And, you know, it makes me feel a lot better about what I've done and, you know, the little accomplishments that I had. But, I mean, it just came to a time where it was just, like, I just needed to just walk away, like, you know, originally I didn't want to come back into it at all. I was like focused on, you know, something else. But an idea came and I looked at a way to come back in and just to have fun. And that was, you know, the big thing. Like, I didn't really care about, you know, making anything out of it. I just wanted to have fun. And
right.
Over time, it started to lose its, like, luster. Like, it wasn't becoming fun anymore. Seeing more bullshit with people, like I said on my post, like the sense of loyalty, honesty, even honor itself has gone out the window now, and it's just fucking ridiculous. And I didn't want to be around, you know, people I don't want to be around. I didn't want to be at a show where I just don't feel like being at. I'm tired of getting, you know, two-faced bullshit, and I was just looking at my future. Like, I'm happy where I'm at now, you know, with my career. You know, want to start a family. I just don't want to go on wasting weekends, afraid of an injury that, you know, one day is going to hinder me when I get older to where I can't, like, pick up my child, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of guys out there that just wrestle through these injuries because, you know, we don't have health insurance at the time. And, I mean, after a while, it just starts, you know, getting worse and worse. And before you know it, they're out for a little bit, and they're just forced to do, you know, the ultimate decision is just not doing anymore or continue, and then that part is pretty much useless when you get older. So
yeah, now that's understandable. Well, I mean, you know, you came back and you really, you know, started to have a really big run and stuff with G's and, you know, doing the Philly's Most Wanted thing. I mean, what was maybe some of the first signs that it wasn't becoming fun? Because it seemed like you really, you know, you hit your stride again. Like, you really didn't miss a step much.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it. You know, I started training when I was 15 years old. So it's right. Like, if you're meant to do something, it's just going to become natural to you. And, you know, years, you know, back then I was always training, like, every day, just working out, just honing my skill. And then it got to a point, it's almost like I kind of stopped training because of my schedule and everything, you know, surrounding that. And it just became pretty much second nature. It was almost as easy as just picking up a cup and taking a drink. It was just that easy to me. But, I mean, the things that started to really piss me off was, you know, in the beginning with the Philly's Most Wanted, me and Nell, who's just my fucking brother pretty much, you know, had these ideas. And the first idea was Homicide, Eddie Kingston, and then all the other names we've mentioned, like Ricky Reyes, Low Key. I mean, we mentioned everyone. So we wanted to work with the best and the people we looked up to. And, right. You know, the idea was going forward a little bit. It was looking good. Eddie Kingston really didn't want to come back because he fucking hates DJ Hyde with a passion. And, you know, he did it because he saw the big idea. And it was looking good, but it got to a point. It was like, all right, we give you this idea, you know, that will, you know, bring people in to watch now, make them more interested, you know what I mean, especially with the tag division. You're working your way up to this tag tournament for these both, and it was an exciting tournament. I had a lot of fun working with a lot of great people, you
right.
know, from, like, the Briscoes to the Osirian Portal, yeah. you know, fucking
sure.
Adam Cole and, you know, his partner at the time. And
mm-hmm.
as it's going, it was like DJ just lost focus of it, just didn't care. I mean, you've seen how it just pretty much was just put out. There was no ending to it, really. The last match I remember that had anything to do with this angle we had was with, you know, G's and Homicide in Jersey, and there was nothing supporting it.
Right.
No management, nothing. It was just like the fucker just pretty much gave up on it and just didn't care because he was so worried about his own bullshit. As you notice on shows, the fucker comes out like 10 times a fucking show talking
yeah.
about bullshit. So, I mean, it started from there. And then
yeah.
when I came back into the company, I was getting paid something else from John Zandig. Regardless what the fucking house drew, I was still making my money. You know what I mean? Based
yeah,
off
yeah.
of my talent, my loyalty with the company. I come back, of course. He talks about, you know, I just got the company, blah, 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 blah. You know, everyone's taking a pay cut, whatever, right? And I didn't care about money at the time at all. And in a way, I still don't. It's just a material thing to me. But it comes to principle. So
absolutely.
I've asked a couple of times about a fucking pay raise to get me to where I was before, especially with the time I'm putting in. And all this fucker can do is just give me the backburn with some bullshit story. Like, the company's not making money, not doing this. Then you're looking at all the merchandise the fucker puts up. And then on top of that, this fucker goes on a vacation or whatever trip he actually goes on, he loses his luggage, a bag. All right, and this guy is talking about not making any money, you know, all that bullshit. And he bitches that the airlines loses his bag and there's $5,000 worth of shit in there. So it's like, what the fuck you got packed in there? You know what I mean? You're bitching about money, not making any money, but you lose $5,000 worth of shit, and you ain't got a fucking real job either. Because he
right.
put so much of his time into this, and he just pretty much let that shit fucking go.
All right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, not to cut you off or anything, but I just, you know, as a fan, I've rant and rave on the show on a regular basis because I've been a CZW fan for well over a decade, and you know, I was regularly attending shows, and it really just, you know, after DJ bought the company, a lot of people have a lot of good things to say about him, but I also see a lot of just retarded things that go on and just booking that doesn't make sense and just angles that get scrapped and things that just, he just cuts the throat of a million things that are on the rise, and then I don't know how the fans are actually supposed to support it or go forward with it. And I could see a lot of the things, and I'll give you examples that include you definitely, you know, as we go through with this. But I could kind of see that, especially with the tag division, because it seems like he can only focus on one thing at a time. Like, he doesn't have like a vast mind for something. So he's got, you know, this angle he could focus on, but then he scraps the other angles while he's doing that. And I don't know if that's what was going on, but it just seems like that from the outside, at least.
Well, like I kept saying, and me and other people said the same thing to him, is like, stop wrestling, focus on your product. Sit back,
definitely.
Analyze it, get a team together, put something together. But the fucking guy has an ego, micromanaging out the ass. You know what I mean? Like every little detail. But he's not worried about anyone else. He's just worried about himself. I look at them tag titles now. They don't really mean nothing. And the guys that are going up against for the titles, like, you know, Azro Bandito, even the Nation of Intoxication, they have some talented guys. But there's no support from DJ to, like, you know, hype it up at all. At all. All it takes is some type of marketing skill to fucking blow it up, and the guys will take care of everything else. But once you don't, you know, focus on any of it, and you just let it go on its own without any type of steam behind it, it doesn't mean anything.
That's one of the big problems there. Yeah, they took the titles off of you guys, gave it to Azrael and Bandito 6 months before they gave Azrael and Bandito even an angle.
Yeah.
I mean, that was something that stood out for me from the start. And then all of a sudden they pop off Four Loko, and then they buried a blackout like they didn't even exist.
No, that was like a fucking... It was like they're trying to rebuild blackout, but like I said before, no focus behind it. And then it just got dismantled. You know what I mean? It could have been something if they focused on it. Actually focused on the big angles, but they didn't, of course. It's all about DJ. And I'm just saying things like out of, you know, my knowledge and what I've experienced. And there's like stories on and on from various people, but it's not for me to fucking say anything. You know what I mean? I'm just going with my experiences. I mean, the time that after, you know, the Philly's Most Wanted against the Strong Style Thugs angle, and we were gone for a few months. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a fucking idea what to do. And it was like, all right, take the time off. And then at the last Hardcore Homecoming or Extreme Rising show, I was at the Armory. I've went there. I have a lot of friends there. I wanted to see Kevin Kleinrock, Steve O'Neill, Alter Boy Luke. I wanted to see everybody. You know what I mean? And I knew DJ was going to be there. And I was going to tell him right then and there that I was done, that it's over. I'm like, I'm working for CZW anymore. But that's when he mentioned the thing about Masada. And it's something me and Masada both wanted.
Right.
And then now, like, with the whole idea is you give us a singles match, right? You kind of don't know how you want it to end, but you want it to kind of keep going. And it's like, how the fuck are we going to keep it going if you've already given us a singles match? And then you're going to give us another one. And then you want us to stretch it out. It's like, how the fuck is it possible without getting boring? You know what I mean? And same thing with the Briscoes. He already booked them ahead of time. Months ahead of time. You know what I mean? He had them till like September or some shit like that, right? So you give us our first, you know, match against them. And you want this angle to keep going, this feud. But he had no fucking idea how to lead it on into, like, the next phase. He had no fucking idea. So it was like, that's why when you look at some of the matches and how they end, because they have no fucking idea, no clue. Like, we do what we're told about the endings, but everything else in between we put together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that support, then it's like you're pretty much on your fucking own.
Yeah.
There's no deep thought into it.
The Masada match, my issue with that was, you guys had the, you know, bang out match. It was a little shorter than anyone would have expected because I guess, you know, they wanted more in the future, so they kept it to what it was. But I thought the ending was retarded and the suspension angle was retarded, and I posted a lot of it online, and people are like, it's an angle, settle down, dude. I'm like, you don't get it. I was like, no one gets what the fuck I'm saying. And my deal was like, listen, you can hear the crowd all around you while you're fucking throwing shit around and you're pushing people and they're chanting Joker, Joker, Joker. You cannot suspend the guy and play a face role as a management type who wasn't even on camera that often, you know, before that. It's not like he was like an on camera, you know, face general manager or whatever you want to call Maven at the time, he was in the back for a while. And then all of a sudden, you go to pushing a couple people, the fans are bugging out because, I mean, you look at one of the top faces of CZW history was Nick Gage because he was the most ruthless. So now you're throwing people around. You're that bad motherfucker. The fans are like, fuck yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're suspending him because we can't have that. I mean,
it was pretty much a cheap idea because that's how they figured out how to keep it going. And it honestly sounded good. But original plan was he only wanted us to go for 7 fucking minutes. He's like, what are you going to do in 7 fucking minutes? A match that everyone's anticipating, and I'm not trying to cheat people out from buying tickets or the DVD just to watch this. That's just not me. It's not my style. I'm not going to cheat people out. So me and fucking Masato went in there and beat the balls off each other. But at the same time, we took care of each other. But that's just how we are. We both can take the fucking beatings and dish out at the same time, but take care of each other and be safe. Because at any time, I could kick the dude straight in the fucking jaw and break it. But why? You know what I mean? I'm safe about my shit. It's a little tight, but I'm at least safe and I'm considerate. But he only wanted to give us 7 fucking minutes. I'm like, what are you going to do 7 minutes, honestly? But then you look who's in the main event, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then when, you know, I give him the idea about ripping the going ape shit. That's what I want. I want it to go fucking ape shit. And that's what caused the panic. But security, not the fucking, you know, rag on a bunch of students and shit like that. But I've ever noticed any angle involving security looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Ever noticed that any pool part, everything looks like shit. They look fucking scared. But in the same sense, they are scared. Because they don't know if it's actually me pissed off or am I just fucking, you know, doing my shit.
Now, I don't know, like, if, you know, this is going too far or something you want to answer or not, but do you think, because I know a lot of wrestling schools do this, do you think some of the students don't belong there and it's just a matter of taking guys' money? Because...
All right, I'm going to tell you right now, right? This is straight from me, what I've experienced, okay? Now, Masada drove from Texas, okay? Little, you know, whatever. I don't know if he'll ever get into that one day, but he lives with me, okay? In my own house, Northeast Philly. So, you know, he lives with me. I wanted, you know, before I got him a job, my old job, I needed to make him some extra money. You know what I mean? Booking's going slow. Japan wasn't coming in right away yet, but it was pending. So he wanted to make some money. So we go down to the wrestling school, CZW's wrestling school one night, right, me and him. I pull the students inside. I set them up with a deal. I ask them for a regular clinic with, you know, some of these guys that I respect what they've done in the business back then and, you know, pioneered some things now, but a lot of them are fucking drug addicts. They're no different from the piece of shit on the street corner. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm like, how much you guys pay? And then, you know, they gave me a price. And I'm like, okay. And how much of it's actually exercise or you're just talking? They're like, you know, it's about sometimes 60-40, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay. I was like, how about this? Masada's going to be here for about 3 months. How about, would you guys like to be trained by him, you know, 4 days a week for just $25 a week from each of you, despite whatever DJ charges you for wrestling tuition, right? So they're all for it. And I was like, you know, just to make sure. So, we, you know, they're working out, whatever. I work out with them, show them a couple of things. I go outside. I talk to Masada. I talk to DJ. I tell them my plan, right? At first, DJ wasn't all like, he was just like, well, they still have to pay me. I'm like, look. Whatever they got to deal with you, that's between you and them. This is something different. But note this. Masada's the head trainer here for the time being. Got that. I was like, he is the head trainer. So I go back to his students. I get a verification again. They were all for it. Masada goes in, talks to them. Next day, more students show up. Students that haven't been at this fucking dojo for like weeks to months. As the weeks gone by, more coming in. And he was making decent money because he was showing them a lot of shit, you know, breaking everything down, you know, piece by piece. Why is it done this way? Why?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Just everything, just the science of it. All right? So this fat fuck comes back from a trip claiming that, you know, students were bitching that they couldn't pay, right? And this is coming from Masada telling me one night because he just got frustrated with it. So So he's like, you know, they're complaining, whatever. And he's like, I'll just pay you at the end of the month. All right. So he's like, okay. He's like, you know, how much? $200. It's like, are you fucking serious? The dude nearly cleared $300 1 week because more students kept coming because of word of mouth from the other students.
All right.
And then DJ steps in and has to jump in on the training, basically making it seem like everything Masada showed them was wrong. This guy's a Shawn Michaels Wrestling Dojo graduate. You know what I mean? Trained by Rudy Boy. And he's making it seem like everything he's trained was wrong. So this fucker pretty much just steps in. You know, Masada backs away. He's like, you got to be fucking shit, man. And I kind of told him it might happen this way. So now DJ steps in to do the training and shit. Now a lot of the guys don't even go back anymore. Because it's like, for all what? Right. What are you being shown? There's one student there that's been there for 2 fucking years.
Right.
2 fucking years. There's no structure to the academy. I don't know why they even still go. I don't even like fucking going because it disgusts me to see that motherfucker trying to show these kids shit. They expect him to stay on the top rope doing Hindus, right? Hindu squats, stay on the top rope. And none of these people are going to ever climb to the top doing anything in their career, possibly.
Right.
And then he expects them to keep their balance, especially when his fat ass is running the ropes while they're doing this. Are you fucking, what are you teaching you, motherfucker? Like, what are you teaching them?
Yeah, true.
It's just an ego thing. It's just an ego thing. Me and a lot of the guys wanted Adam Flash because that dude's been an influence to me in this business. He knows a lot. And he's the most laid-back fucking guy ever. You know what I mean? And I had to earn my way, along with G's, to be in that locker room with all those guys from Messiah to Flash to Gage, Payne, John, all of them, to even be accepted. Work their way
right.
in.
Sure.
And we wanted him to come back to be the locker room general. And, of course, no. DJ has to be in the middle of everything. That's what it seems like to me. He has to drive from fucking Delaware. Complain about money, but you'll drive from Delaware all the way to the dojo to sit there, talk whatever, bitch about you don't have time to do this, do that. But why are you even here? Other guys can take care of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he has to be in the middle of everything. And that's what's just fucking sickening.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And when it came to students, one guy that comes to mind, because, I mean, he's always been a super nice dude to me, and I'm not trying to bury him or anything like that, but Fredo, I don't know how long he's been in the school. I know it's been a long fucking time, but it just seems like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's capable of making it, maybe he's not, but it's just like, it seems like he's getting led on, and he's just been told to shit because... Yeah, he'll fucking hit me up. Oh, dude, don't say nothing, but fucking they're putting me on Saturday. And, of course, they ain't putting him on fucking Saturday.
Yeah.
And then,
I can understand him being excited, being a greenie and shit like that. And it's a passion. It's what you want. You know what I mean? And honestly, Alfredo, if shown right, he's very promising, especially for a big guy. I've worked out with that kid a few times, and he has heart. He truly does. For a big guy like him, he'll still try. He'll still train until he's exhausted and throwing up. But he comes back the next day because he wants to learn. But if shown the right things, he'd be amazing. Like, there's a guy there now at the CZW Academy who moved from California to be here, trained by Mike Modest for 9 fucking months. Okay?
Right.
Promising as fuck. Bright future. As long as he gets the fuck away from it, in my opinion. And there's another chick there. I swear, if I had so much time to even train with her, I can make her so much better than a lot of the fucking females out there now. Because she shows a lot of heart, bumps like a fucking guy, willing to learn. And I got her set up with the SAT school in Brooklyn because she works, you know, her company is based out of Brooklyn. She was going to be there for like a month and a half. So I hit them up. They took her in no problem and trained with her ever since. And then she came back. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying too, with Fredo, like, you know, he could definitely, I mean, he definitely wants it. There's no maybes about it. He wants it. It's in his heart and all of that. And he's willing to work for it and, you know, take as long as it wants it takes. But the most I've seen them ever do with him is, you know, they let Sammy Callahan use him as more or less a table. Like, they just had him standing there in the corner and he took a DVD into Fredo and
Fredo had to limp to the back, and that was it. But, like, this is a guy who's been, like, just dying to get there, and they're telling him, yeah, you're about there, and then maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe he could be in 2 weeks. Maybe he could be in 2 months. But I don't think they're being honest with the kid.
I just look at it like there's no structure. That's just bottom line of, you know, the reasons how things are going on with the students. There's just no set structure at all. But they're still coming, still paying their dues, still working, shows that security, setting up the ring at times. I mean, they want it. And it's like, I guess they have an imagination in the back of their head that it might get better. Well, if you got a guy like Masada that just stepped away because he doesn't want to deal with fucking DJ at the school, Nell, you know, G is doing the same thing myself.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. You know what I mean? I remember when wrestling used to be fun. Ruckus now goes to shows he doesn't even want to be there. He doesn't even stay anymore.
Right.
Doesn't
right.
match
yeah, definitely.
And every
that.
Comment he makes is, I remember when wrestling used to be fun. Sarcastic as shit. And I mean, it's true. When it used to be fun. Now you go here, you're just like, what the fuck? But you have a sense of loyalty because it's CZW. You know what I mean? But right now, to me, it's not CZW anymore.
No,
DJ could have just fucking started a company himself. Gave it a different fucking name.
Do you listen to my show? Because I say this shit like every week, and now you're telling me this shit from your mind. And
I look like this. Bottom line, John Zander look at DJ as a fucking mark. That's it. A sucker. And sold this company for whatever the price is, because it's debatable, and then he buys it. And he could have just fucking started a company, bought a ring, and just started his own company with a different fucking name.
Yeah,
and
whatever he spent on those letters would have been towards his new company.
Ever since this motherfucker got the company, he's Mr. Big Shot. A lot of the guys we've known over the years, because DJ used to drive me in and out of shows, we'd try to get him on, we'll always be on car rides together, met so many people, like out of, you know, WXW in Allentown with the Samoans and shit. And then now he bought the company, he acts like he's just a Big Shot. A Big Shot. Like, he acts like he doesn't even know who these fucking people are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I had two close friends of mine, all right, two promoters from UWA, Joe and John. They came in town. They're shooting a thing. You know, it's, I forgot what the project's called. But, you know, they shot, you know, me for 2 days. It was basically a sweet fucking project where it's like, it's deeper than just a shoot interview. Real deep. You know what I mean? They did Sanjay for like, you know, 2 weeks, and the one brother drove.
Oh, this was that, what was the name of that? I forget it. I saw the,
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I saw the teaser for that. It looks awesome.
So, I mean, it's a sweet, sweet fucking project. And, you know, they go to a CZW show, right? And the first thing, you know, they're in the locker room with, you know, G's and shit, and, you know, seeing a lot of the guys I haven't seen in a while. And DJ is just like, who the fuck are these guys? Get them out of my fucking locker room. And it's like, you fucking serious? These are people you wanted to fucking work for at one point. You drove like fucking 12 plus hours to get there. You know, wanted to work for them. When you saw them, you'd be like, oh, I would love to work for you guys. You know, just give them that bullshit. And then you see them now and you act like you don't know who they are. And then when they finally tell you who they are because they're giving you the benefit of the doubt, you're still fucking cocky about it. And then you're going to ask my buddy, like, you know, you don't, you know, basically you don't understand, like, what it costs to run a show. And he's asking, what's your budget? You know what I mean? That's what DJ asked him. He's like, whoa, what was your budget? He's like over fucking 10 grand. And this guy brought in Ultimo Dragon a lot. Brought in Liger.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Of course they know what they're doing because they've done it. And they treated everyone respectfully. It was like being with the boys, basically. It was always fun down there. And this motherfucker wants to be like, you know, Mr. Big Shot, acting like I don't know you, like I don't need you type shit. It's like, you kidding me, motherfucker? Like, you forget who the fuck you are?
That's crazy stuff.
Like,
I mean,
ever since he got the company, too, like, he thinks people are going to respect him. Nobody respects the motherfucker. Nobody. Nobody. I've seen five-year-olds that can run a lemonade stand better than this motherfucker can a promotion.
That's hilarious. Because, I mean, the more you say, the more that, I mean, you're like, all right, well, Masada, I mean, this is a guy that's a huge face of this company. And you, I mean,
you and G's have been, you know, the top heels in his company, the top tag team. You know, they could bring in the Briscoes, they could bring in, you know, Kingston and Homicide, but you were CZW's tag team. There was no one in there that was more dominant or more prevalent than you guys at the time. So, I mean, you got a lot of the top names in the company that are just looking at this guy like a joke and just trying to, you know, trying to make it work. But in the same token, it seems like he's working with a lot of people that don't give a shit about him whatsoever.
Well, he doesn't give a shit about them. He takes advantage of them. That's the thing, too.
Well, no, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, when John ran that company, there were reasons why he didn't work with some of the companies that DJ's working with now, okay? Because John looked at it. He looked at his product as his pride and fucking joy. CZW Lockroom back then was like a motorcycle gang. We all
right.
covered for each other. Whenever we were in the same shows, we were together. We made it prevalent. And then
yeah.
now he's running, you know, promotions with Fight Club Pro, which to me, from what I've seen, is just a small fucking promotion just in another continent.
Yeah.
All right.
Honestly,
WXW
I'm not
WXW Germany. And WXW Germany has been around for a while. But John didn't want to work with some of these people or wouldn't work with some of these people because he looked at it as like, what can you do for CZW? Honestly. Because
yeah.
I know you're going to make something off of working with us using our name, and it will boost you. But it's like, what will you do for me, for my company, for my guys, to help boost our name? What are you going to do? And basically, if they didn't have anything, then he's not going to work with you because it's not going to help
right.
him out at all. And that's how you run a business.
Yeah, and another thing that with John that I've seen just as a fan, because, I mean, you go there month in and month out, and you watch, you know, your guys. You watch, you know, the guys that you're used to seeing, and then you see them do, you know, interpromotional stuff like back in the day. He was doing stuff with Ring of Honor.
Yep.
What happened? A quarter of the roster left and went to Ring of Honor, and then you
mm-hmm.
didn't see them anymore if you were a CZW fan. So John Zandig said, yo, fuck Gabe. Fuck him. Fuck all of that shit. Next thing you know, Zandig's out. And DJ's like, oh, I love Gabe. Gabe's awesome. Okay, well, guess
Dude,
what? Now fucking Aaron
I mean,
Fox and Sammy
I've
take
never,
fucking
yeah.
over CZW.
I've never had a personal problem with Gabe face-to-face at all. Like, he talked to me for the first time face-to-face. It was months ago. And he wanted to bring me in the Dragon Gate USA next year, right? So we're like, all right, we'll talk, whatever. Now, every fucking show, Gabe's there. And we've been
oh,
telling
yeah.
DJ, like, yo, DJ, like, you got Gabe there in every fucking show, even though he's not doing a... you know, a doubleheader with you, but he's here every time. And every young guy that flips and does spots, they're automatically at Evolve or Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah.
Look at Swanee. Swanee got a contract instantly taken right from under DJ. A.R. Fox.
Yeah.
Sammy
Fox,
fucking Callahan.
Sammy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Adam Cole at one point. Like, he was just taking all these guys. And Dick Kid doesn't see it. You know,
and
when he had the arena. When he had the arena. WXW Germany... I mean, he wanted to be in that building so fucking bad. So what did they
yeah.
do? Use DJ to get the building, pretty much.
Yeah.
Make it seem like it's an interpromotional type of thing. I didn't see it that way at all. And that goes for a lot of the promotions that ran into that building. Look at the two Fight Club Pro fucking guys.
So
they brought in to work me and fucking Nell.
Well, the promoter and MK McKinnon.
Yeah. So I'm like,
right.
are you serious? And then they did this big thing with Big Japan. You know, I don't go. Apparently, DJ refers to me as his boy or family. He's like, you know how much I've always wanted to compete in Japan. And you ask me, and of course I can't fucking do it because of my job. But then you stop asking me, and you don't ask me about England or fucking Germany. But you'll take all these other guys. And then this next tour, I was supposed to be on it, okay? As
uh-huh.
per Big Japan. They had some type of list, whatever. I heard from, like, Masada, and I was supposed to go in this one. So DJ calls me, and this is until, like, December, right? So I don't give him a call back because I don't really think about him calling him back. I got other shit, okay, that I deal with.
Right.
So I finally call him back 2 weeks later, and this is what I get. Oh, man, if you called me sooner, you would still be on it. And I'm like, all right. He's like, well, Masada is going to go now. I was like, all right, I figured he'd go because he's, you know, dealing with his shit and this is his way. I was like, of course. But I'm like, what's the time limit? Why do I have a fucking time limit when it's just in December?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, whatever, motherfucker. I was like, I see. Keep getting the runaround. And remember, G's told him, like, Bill can do the tour. His work will let him. Because my training sergeant, my job is like, you know what? It's like, you know, a pre-scheduled event. It's Japan. And he's like, I'll give you a leave slip to do it. And I'm still in my one-year probation at work. So I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, just give me the dates. So Nell tells him, don't fuck him over. At least three times. Don't fuck Bill over. So Nell gives me a call, says, I got your visa paperwork and shit like that. Just fill it out. I was like, all right, cool, thanks. And he's like, you know, talk to DJ. So we talk that day, and he tells me, you know, that if I called him sooner, I would have probably have gone. But then over and over again, he kept asking me about Cage of Death. And I couldn't do Cage of Death originally because of my work schedule. So now
right. He
has in his mind that I could take off for Japan. Why can't I do Cage of Death? I'm like, Cage of Death, Japan.
Like, big difference.
Are you fucking kidding me, motherfucker?
Jersey, like, Japan. Big difference.
Yeah.
And I live in Jersey, but
yeah,
holy
so
God,
that's what I got.
It.
So I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I can't deal with this shit. I can't deal with a fucking asshole. Because, I mean, I've grown. I've matured in ways. Because before, I probably fucked this dude up fast. Instantly. I'd probably kill this motherfucker. Cold-blooded. You know what I mean? I can't deal with stupidity.
I just wish you could have worked it into a match and then just strong-style the shit out of him. Just once, you know?
That won't be a strong-style. The first thing would happen, we're going to lock up. I'm going to punch him right square in the fucking face. And I want to see this, motherfuckers. You got two choices after I punch you in your fucking face. Either man the fuck up and fight back or just stand there with a dumbfounded look. I'm going to punch you a few hundred times in the fucking face.
Yeah,
until
that's just,
you're
just that's
left
just
with
my selfish mind, man. You know? You're probably taking the better road.
Dude, work day to day, I deal with 120-plus fucking inmates by myself on a block. All I have is my fist and a fucking radio and cameras watching me. That's it. And I got 120-something fucking inmates ranging from murderers to pedophiles that I have to be in close proximity with. So I got to deal with a lot of shit.
So you're a CO right now? Or?
Yeah. So it got to for the state. So it got to a point now. It's like I deal with that, you know, no one wants to fuck with me because we have a respect level, you know what I mean? And they know I will bang if it comes down to it, even if I'm by myself. I don't give a shit because I'm just going to kill as many as I can barehanded if I had to before I go down. But dealing with that on a, you know, a day-to-day and I get home, I'm okay. But dealing with the other bullshit, that's just like, that's a little too much because you're taking something that I was so passionate about being a fucking teenager and worked my way to now, from 15 to 28 years old, and then you're just shitting on it, basically. You know what I mean? It's like you're stressing me the fuck out, and I shouldn't be, but at the same time, like, it's stupidity that stresses me out, because it's like, how stupid can you fucking be? Honestly.
And I understand that, and we'll bounce back to that, too, but, I mean, one question I did want to ask, too, is, one thing I noticed, and a lot of people noticed this shit, was online. Anywhere people were talking about that match with Masada was like, I don't know what Joker's doing, but that dude is bowed up right now. So, I mean, what kind of regiment did you turn yourself up to? I mean, you clearly beasted out just recently. And what you up to? I mean,
it was like... You know, I took all, you know, the months off or whatever, right, from CZW because the fucker had no ideas for us anyway. So all I do now is just train. I go to work. I go to the gym at least four times a week. I mean, I buy my supplements and shit like that. So, I mean, I've been more smart, but I've been lifting very heavy now. Like, very, like, I posted that picture of me doing shoulder presses with 100-pound dumbbells.
That's ridiculous.
Doing seated shoulder presses. Now I can max out now at 110 on shoulder presses. On chest, dumbbell chest press, 120-pound dumbbells. And that's the max at the gym. So I would lift with Rory because he would come, you know, we'll go to the gym together and I work with him. And all I did was start lifting very heavy. And then it kind of benefits me at the job too. So, I mean, now I'm kind of going into like a more of a cutting stage to get some of the water out, but my strength is at least still there. So that's
It's funny how, like, you and Rory go to the gym now, and, like, your relationship clearly didn't start very well, and then, you know?
Yeah, he was, I mean, at the time, he was young. He apologized, and, you know, I apologized, but
clearly
he was just young then. And, I mean, the kid is just growing up so much now. I mean, he's going to Big Japan for 3 months as a young boy, and it's something he set up himself.
He went through
Yuki, told her he wanted to go back. He's willing to live there. He just wants to train and work as long as they, you know, take care of him at shows. And they want him for 6 months, but he can only do three because of college. So I guess he left already. I'm not sure, but he sold his car and everything. And then I come to find out from him that DJ's telling people that he sent him. It's like, no. I told Rory, you need to nip that shit in the butt. You set this fucking deal yourself. You did all that. Not that motherfucker.
Definitely. But now, other question I got, man, and we'll get back to CZW, but what keeps you from just continuing your career elsewhere? And I know, I mean, you got your own, you know, career things going and everything else, but people love seeing you wrestle. Obviously, DJ's fucked you over a million times and stuff like that. What stops you from working with other promotions to keep this going?
It's just now it's time for me. It's like with my job, it's like I can't be committed to anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, if I would love to have gone the Ring of Honor, but it's like if I would have to sign a contract, it's like I can't guarantee them any of the, like, majority of the dates because of my job. So it's like, you know, that, you know, hinders me. The traveling for some places is the same thing. I don't want to lose my weekends and based off my work schedule. Because I have, like, you know, my work schedule kind of fluctuates, and, you know, all of pretty much this month, I don't have any weekends off, really. It's all in the middle of the week. So, I mean, that's just the main reason. Like, I love to just, you know, work with some of the other promotions, but it was just, like, the commitment. I just couldn't, like, give them what they pretty much want with dates.
But, I mean, are you counting out, like one-time bookings here and there and stuff if it does come up? Because, I mean, again, I mean, there's those dream matches and there's those, you know, hopes for you to go to Japan like you wanted to and everything else.
I mean, in a way there is, but, like, now it just, to me, it just seems like the time now. I mean, my passion for it is just gone. It's honestly just gone. And it's been, I've been having the thought of it and the feelings for, like, months. You know what I mean? I couldn't see myself doing it anymore. Like, I just want to focus on, like, other things. Like, you know, my job, joining a special team at work, you know, starting a family. Like, I'm at a more happier place right now, and I just want to just continue it without, like, any type of stress, without any
distraction. I got no hate for none of that, man. It's just my only thing is, like, you know, I know you wanted to be in a good place, and you wanted to be, you know, where it was fun, and, you know, CZW showed you so many things that put you in this mindset. It could just be the fact that you were in a bad environment.
Yeah,
I
thought of that too. But then it's like guys like him are like, dude, they're like a dime a dozen. They're all over the place. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm just like, you know, I'll get out while I still can and just at least be happy about it. I can't say I'm retiring because I didn't, you know, complete a lot of goals that I had set for myself. I'm just saying I just walked away, and that's it.
Yeah, I didn't know how to phrase it myself, even saying that. I'm like, I don't want to say retired. I don't want to say talking. No way.
I'm just walking away.
We
want to
see
so much
more out of this guy. But if, I mean,
I've cleared with a lot of people.
Yeah, and I've always said this about, you know, guys like you and, you know, people I enjoy watching. Like, man, I'd rather you fucking be happy outside of wrestling than fucking kill yourself in it. I mean, that's honestly, like, I'm an unselfish fan. Like, I may sound like a selfish asshole majority of the time on my show, but when it comes right down to it, if you entertain me, I want you to do the best thing for your fucking life.
I appreciate that. Like, the one thing I could say, kind of keep contributing, is, like, I like teaching and, like, you know, giving advice. Because I just give them, like, straightforward advice, like what works for me or what I see, which can make things better, but I'm not saying I'm perfect at everything, you know what I mean? But I like just giving, you know, younger guys advice, and I think with some of the students, I want to get them work at other places and learn more than to be trapped in that fucking place.
Right.
Like, if I had the money, honestly, and the time, I would open up a wrestling school and hire fucking guys like Homicide, even Masada, to be head trainers. And my goal would be to take every student he had and make him into something and just throw it back into his fucking face.
Yeah. Now, I mean, given the locker room that CCW is, what would you be doing with it if you had the control over things to do the right things for people? Because, you know, I've thrown out my fantasy situations. I'm not even in the business. And, you know, you've been there and seen shit that should have been done. And, I mean, what do you think could have been done, you know, with the money available or whatever?
The one thing I would have done is I wouldn't have done it all myself because it's just been too stressful. I would definitely step down from wrestling, period, and focus on it, especially if I put in so much money into this product. This is my baby, pretty much. This is my, like, you know, investment. So I'm going to have full attention of everything. But I wouldn't be doing it all myself. I'd hire a team of guys that are close to me, that know what they're fucking doing, and I can trust. That will help me out with the booking, the locker room, and things of that nature. You know what I mean? And then it would just go, I have it, the locker room back to how CZW used to be. Like, if you were a fucking dickhead and you don't belong there, we're going to take you out on a stretcher, and you're never coming back.
Is there anyone you could say who doesn't belong there?
Nah, I mean, right now it's like there's a lot of decent talent in that locker room now.
There is.
But it's just direction. Like, I don't know what direction any of them are going to really take.
Right.
Like, I could see Strickland leaving and going to Dragon Gate USA. That's going to
happen. Yeah, and that's crazy, man, because the dude, like, he stayed in, you know, training for so long. You know, I've seen, like, a match or two of them. They just randomly threw him in that aerial assault match.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately was like, yo, this dude's got some shit. Like, he's in there with a lot of other guys that would clearly overshadow him. And right away, I was like, I like this fucking guy. He's good.
I was shocked. I mean, I was like, holy fuck, the dude came a long way. But, he's going to do what's best for him, and he's just going to move on. But that's just going to happen with Gabe just pretty much pulling the rug under DJ's feet.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. And then I don't know how you feel about everything else that DJ's doing with his outsourcing, but you know, the whole like balls and New Jack thing that he used the CZW ring so DJ could be tweeting all night that I'm at the New Jack and Balls shoot and like the whole thing happened in the, you know, CZW ring, and it just, I don't know. I don't know what DJ's doing.
I don't think anyone fucking knows. I don't think he even fucking knows. I mean, the dude probably has some fucking brain damage or some bullshit from getting hit in the fucking head a little too much. Always gets hurt and shit. So, I mean, I don't know. I just look at him just like, you gotta be shitting. Like, I'm just upset to the fact that this is like an investment that you put money into. God knows how much you've even paid for this fucking thing. And you're just letting it run sour.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you fucking kidding me?
I've stuck in through some pretty bad times and continue to, you know.
Dude, Nate Webb was here. Like, he's a close friend of mine. And he was here actually last month.
Yes.
He was at the show, and he said when he went to the locker room, it just didn't feel the same. Like, it just felt terrible. Like, he was just like, he was in shock. He was in fucking shock. Like, I had cases of beer at home, you know, for them when they got back, that, you know, I was going to stay up and have a few drinks and shit. He didn't even want to drink a beer.
Wow.
And he was just like, man.
He's from Beer City.
he's like, what the fuck, basically. I'm just like, dude, it's just the way it is, man. It's just got to get used to it, I guess. But it ain't like old CZW, and that's the time I missed. I mean, I truly miss, you know, John. I mean, I missed a lot. I missed everything about it. It was just an amazing locker room to be a part of, especially if you got accepted by them. Like, you just, it was a family. Now, everyone's pretty much out for themselves. The fucking owner don't give a fuck, you know what I mean? He's just worried about himself, his angles, his big money angles. And I just didn't want to put another match like I just had with Masada again, but for a longer period of time, just so that motherfucker can make more money off the DVDs and not put more money in my envelope or his envelope.
Yeah, no, I get it, dude. And, I mean, the thing, man, I just continue to say, like, it seems like DJ finds what's cool. Like, honestly, if you just became a little more over, if they just cheered you for one more match, you would have had like a 3-month angle with DJ, because every time someone was over, whether it was Sammy, whether it was, who else? He was now Tremont. But before, like Adam Cole, like no matter what it was, whatever was over, whatever was the biggest thing, DJ had to be involved in it.
I mean,
no way around it.
At least you see it. Like, we all see it in the back and we laugh at it, especially many times he has to come out. You know what I mean? He gives himself the dumbest fucking reasons to have to come out. Like when that show that was in Philly, World's Gym, when Mia worked at Greg Excellence, right?
Yeah, Mia Greg Excellence.
Phenomenal,
he cut a fucking promo on Mia.
Dude, phenomenal.
I guess we're gonna
ladder match. Yeah, she earned her stripes. Her stripes with Greg. Even Greg. Like, I was so fucking impressed. Like, I respect the dude, but when seeing this, I was like, holy fuck. Like, Greg can fucking go. And I was really happy with, like, how just everything was. It was amazing, you know what I mean? And, of course, DJ, I heard DJ comes out and does his little thing. It was never called. He saw it as a spur of the moment, as an opportunity to make himself the most hated heel. And it's like, dickhead, they don't hate you because you're a heel.
They
hate
don't
you
because like
you suck.
Because
I get that over your fucking fat fucking head.
Synchronized swimming.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's ridiculous, man. Like, he was a jobber as a wrestler, and now he thinks he's going to be pushed the way no one else would ever push him. No one else would book DJ the way DJ books DJ.
It's like he gets his bookings based off of the CZW name.
Sure. I mean, well, it's his now, so he can
ever
do what
see,
he wants.
Did you honestly ever see John work for any other promotion besides, like, big promotions like Big Japan and shit? Have you ever seen John anywhere else?
No, but
not,
also...
He did not want anyone to pretty much slay his name.
But as many times as also DJ has recently put himself up against Matt Tremont in the main event, have you seen the amount of punishment that DJ has put out? Not much. Tremont's killing him fucking self.
Yeah, I know. And I fear the dude's going to have a short career with all the shit he's doing. Someone's just going to take advantage of him. People take advantage of it. And he just has so much fun doing it. It's his dream of doing it. But the kid's going to get fucking hurt.
He's such a humble, phenomenal dude. And he wants this so bad. And DJ's just letting him fucking kill himself. He's barely taking any punishment. That's the thing about John. When John went in there, he'd go in there in the main event. And he'd break fucking two ribs. And he'd do whatever he'd do everything he could to make sure that the company was put up there, but he wouldn't ask, and a lot of people have said this in the past, this isn't just me saying it, John Zandig would never ask for you to do anything that he wouldn't do himself.
No, that's true. That's
and
true.
I don't think that speaks for DJ at all.
Nah, DJ tries to emulate him, like everything. He's trying to emulate him. Like all of a sudden, you're the owner of the company. You don't have to do death matches if you don't want to. You can do matches without having to do a death match and still make sense. It's called wrestling. This fuck has to just do death match after death match after death match. And the best part about it, he's always hurt afterwards. So you can only say to yourself, you must be doing something wrong.
Especially when the other guy's taking all the severe bumps.
Yeah. This is a work, DJ. Learn how to work, then you might not get hurt or hurt the other guy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's really brutal to watch. And just to see like this type of guy, like put himself over and over and over. And you see that everyone knows he owns it. So when you see a guy putting himself over that owns it, you're like, this is fucking awkward. And he has no remorse. He just does what he wants to do.
I think so far, like what we talked about, like the bottom line was, like my last so many months, whatever, it was just, I was just unhappy with like my home, fed pretty much. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like just unhappy. happy. And in a way, yeah, it have its hand in me wanting to get out, but then it was just much more than that. I was just like, nah, I just got to just back away and just watch. But I wish a lot of the guys the best of luck, and hopefully, you know, they continue on their careers without doing dumb shit or dealing with stupid shit. But, I mean, that's just wishing a little too much. So they're going to have to deal with their own shit.
Well, now let's, you know, shoot some fantasy shit out there real quick. If you do come back, God willing, in the future, you know, and you're going to be in a good mind state and you do want to, you know, your mind's going to be set on something, you've got your goals set, you know, you're just laser guided towards exactly what you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
What are those things going to be? Who are those guys going to be that you haven't got the chance to wrestle that you're going to if you do decide to come back in the future?
Well, one, I want to have a complete match with Masada. I think it's long overdue, and it would just be pretty much amazing and very shocking because I would like to leave people in the first, like, three rows gasping for air after every strike, knowing that, wow, these guys really fucking hate each other. You know what I mean? But we're actually close friends. Takeda from Big Japan.
Nice.
I think we have very similar styles, and a lot of guys have said it, and they've wanted to see it in Big Japan. Let's see. Definitely the Briscoes again. Eddie Kingston. Homicide. Trying to look at more of like what's more realistic that I would like to work with.
I'd love to see you and Sakimoto myself.
Yeah, Sakimoto, yeah. That would be nice. I wish I could have worked with Dick Togo when they did that, you know, that show.
There you go.
And, you know, it would have been just an honor and been awesome. Like, man.
I mean, what do you think about Sami Callihan? Because I'm a fan of the dude and everything. And, you know, he's called himself the hardest hitting guy on the whatever. But you, to me, has always been one of the most real hard-hitting guys, where, like, if you took it outside of wrestling, you knew that this fucking guy is going to go. And I don't think you guys have ever had a one-on-one, right?
Nah, apparently we're supposed to later on, like, some point next year, but we just had that four-way with Gargano and Chuck Taylor. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Or, you know, do you have any feelings on that at all? But
Sami Callihan's, like, you know, he's talented. I mean, guy cuts, you know, great promos, has a nice presence. I wouldn't say he's the hardest hitting guy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the gimmick, and, you know,
yeah.
But he works that style. But I know when it comes down to actual hitting, it's going to be what it's going to be, you know?
I mean, put it this way, people love this dude, then he's doing something right.
Sure. But yeah, man, I don't know. I know there's, you know, tons of people that you've enjoyed working with and stuff. Go ahead and give us a good wrap of the guys that you've enjoyed working with, and then that type of shit, whether it be your favorite matches, you know, moments, whatever, just shout them all out, because, you know, as for now, we're taking a huge break. We're calling at least, not quits, but we're, you know, it is what it is, you know, and I don't want to not give you this platform and not give you the opportunity to shout out the people that mean all of that to you.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll start with
G's.
You know, G's, Kingston, of course. Always working with Kingston's always a blast. Homicide, I've always looked up to him even since I was, like, in high school. You know what I mean? Like, his style just kind of related to me. Just, like, just his presence, everything. It just showed me that I could be myself.
Yeah.
The SAT... I mean, I remember watching them, and when I was still in high school and they were on CZW, it was just like, you know, everything they did was so innovative, and they're the coolest people I've ever worked with, and it started at PWU. Like, they were just amazing guys, and I mean, we have a decent relationship and we keep contact. Devin Moore, I mean, besides his physique, the kid has so much fucking talent, willing to go the extra mile.
Besides his physique.
Yeah. We're always
You're
fucking about
his build, cuz?
But yeah, can take an ass beating and can give one. So,
yeah.
I mean, I enjoy working with him. Masada, I mean, it was a first, but we've always talked about it for, like, quite some time. And, I mean, wish we just ended it, but, you know, it is what it is now. The Briscoes, I mean, fucking amazing tag team. Like, they're just pure tag team wrestling. And getting to work with them was such an experience, and they're the most coolest fucking people that I know. B-Boy, Adam Flash, Nick Gage, during the time we were doing the Forefathers thing. Ruckus, I mean, I kind of, I don't know, hurt him a little bit because he's not used to wrestling that type of style. Hollow Wicked, Delirious, and Chikara. The Tomasellis, like all of them, all three, Brandon Vito and Sal. BJ Whitmer.
I think Brandon renamed himself, but yeah, I guess.
Yeah, like the Colony, just that, you know, the couple matches we've had, some hiccups here and there, like someone nearly getting knocked out at one time, and it just kind of fell apart from there. Let's see. Basically, a lot of the guys in the Chikara locker room that I got to work with, Akuma, I mean, dude has so much potential. He has to be in there with the right person, definitely let him bring it out, and he has it. He definitely has it, and I enjoyed working with him in IW Mid-South. Let's see, Donna Marcos, worked with them in UWA Canada, great time.
Ring Crew Express.
Yeah, Ring Crew Express. Who else? The Olsen Twins. Remember them?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was, what do you call it, what's his face, off of WWE.
Yeah. Irish Airborne, got to work with them once. Long time ago in Chikara, and they've been wanting to work with us now ever since we did that six-man tag in Philly, and, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, I wish it could have happened sooner. Sanjay, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin, like, you know, great guys. I mean, even Alex Shelley hit me up on Facebook and, you know, left me a cool message. He found out that I was done. So, I mean, a lot of respect to them. Ricky Reyes, I mean, I've had a blast with him every time, even tagging with him and working against him was so easy and just a lot of fun. Human Tornado, Nate Webb, Chris Cash, every match we had, even tags with each other and against each other. Bailey, Necro, Toby. Even had a fun time working with CJ Otis, IW Mid-South. Drake Younger, all the Naptown Dragons. I mean, hey, we just, you know, here and there, we've worked each other. I mean, IWA and CCW, but, you know, good times. Ian Rotten, believe it or not, Corporal Robinson.
I have a little more respect for Ian than a lot of people do because, honestly, he's never owed me money. So I don't, you know.
Well, there's a lot of people money right now, so.
Well,
but
it ain't
I mean,
me.
He's never crossed me, ever. Like, never, you know, crossed me to where I wouldn't, you know, be pissed at him. He's given me some great fucking opportunities. They allowed me to work with Davey Richards, AJ Styles.
He's a great booker, right?
Yeah, he had me booked one weekend, but I couldn't be there. His military obligation was against Roderick Strong one night and Luke Key the following night.
Wow.
I mean, I wish I was able to make it, but, I mean, Ian seen a lot of promise in me and gave me some amazing opportunities, and I can't thank him enough. Trying to think who else. It's like so many people, it's just so hard to kind of think back. And even I would forget about it. I was like, oh, shit, I did that? I was like, okay. But I mean,
staff-wise, CCW.
Staff, I mean,
like, people that
staff,
maybe don't get you
with
out
staff,
of Shawnee,
like,
but, you know.
Yeah, like I wrote, you know, at work today, like, you know, a shout out to a lot of people that, you know, that I will always remember and thank so, so much. But CZW staff behind the scenes, CZW show wouldn't go on if it wasn't for, like, Michael Paracos, who's a fucking digital, like, wizard with electronics. Like, all that setup is all his. Like,
yeah.
Entranceway, everything. Michael Paracos and his crew, fucking amazing. All respect to them. Much love. Shawnee and the loyal crew he had since CZW, since, like, almost day one. I mean, still doing it. I mean, having to work with shit and some lazy fucking people, but they still get the job done. I mean, after right. shows, the guy has to get the fucking ring loaded up. So you're not getting it done till like after midnight, especially if the show doesn't end till fucking midnight. Then has to drive all the way to South Philly, which Voorhees, that skate zone, he only lives like apparently 5 minutes away. Drive all the way to fucking South Philly, unload this shit, and come back.
Yeah.
Without him, shit wouldn't be fucking possible. And if you get a replacement, that motherfucker ain't going to last that long anyway, dealing with all the work.
I give him a million points of credit.
Yeah, Maven Bentley, a true fucking professional. True professional.
Yep.
And I mean, not many people know, but that fucking guy is, you know, fucking honest. And when he has to kind of hide something, he's only doing it for your benefit so you don't fucking go off on somebody pretty much. But he'll always tell you off to the side, like, look, this, you know, this is what's going on. This is what happened. This is what was said. But true, true professional, and I respect him dearly.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, now, I mean, you work with both of these guys, and Hero had cut a shoot recently, and, no, this doesn't, like, directly pertain to you, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, you had talked about some of the, like, the vets back in the day that you had to prove yourself, Payne being one of them.
Yeah.
And then Hero being another guy that, you know, you've obviously, you know, been in the locker room with and stuff. And he straight up said that Justice Payne is not only the reason he left CZW, but the worst wrestler that he's ever worked with. I mean, do you have any side of that you fall on, or like that you side with?
This is what I said on my shoot interview that I've done, like, I think last year with Smart Mark Video. Justice Payne is
right.
a great, great entertainer, but he is no fucking Dean Malenko. Great entertainer, but very difficult to fucking work with. Very fucking, like, one of my worst matches, honestly. Like, I was upset after working with him in that singles match. Like, nothing went to what we've even talked about, called, anything. Like, he just resorted to fucking Justice Payne. Like, that was it. But
yeah.
Great entertainer. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like watching some of his matches, him going off, but I think I'm just more in the suspense of what the fuck is going to happen now, because I know none of this shit's being called right now. But, yeah, he is not a great wrestler, that's all I got to say.
So Hero's probably right with what he was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. I got that. Dude,
I mean, the guy is honestly, like, one of the best champions CZW's ever had. Like, the dude, I mean, took it above and beyond. He knew how to, he carried the company. He looked well doing it. I mean, he put his, you know, made, I mean, you saw early fucking pictures of Justice when he was skinny as shit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then, I mean,
I've
he just
videos
became,
there.
Yeah, became a monster. And when he held that company, dude, like, he had that company. It was just, you know, I can't take that from him. Like, the dude was, like, your ideal heavyweight champion. Amazing fucking guy. Great entertainer. But he's not a wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a fan, it was hard for me to grasp that because for what we had for a long time, you know, I was a CZW fan. So I came and my entertainment was your wife beaters, your, you know, your Nick Gages, your Zandigs, your Lobos. And then you had your Justice Payne wrestling Jerry Lynn on the main event. And you were like,
yeah.
This is the wrestler. This is our wrestler. But of course, you know, later on you get your Chris Heroes and, you know, you
yep.
get your other
things
guys
change.
That come in there. And, you know, things change and you go, oh, wow, well, maybe not so much. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you learn as you go, and I'm only a fan, so, wow. I mean, it, you know, it teaches you a lot, and I never saw him as that early on, but then, you know, as time went on, I was like, oh, well, oh wow, everybody in the fucking locker room hates him. That's fantastic. This guy led the fucking company for how many years?
Yep.
All right, then. But I don't know, man. You know, anything in closing that you would like to say, or, you know, anything else you want to put out there, you know, have attitude, I just...
Yeah, let me get my list, because, I mean, enjoy the people, you know, I've already named, so...
For sure, man.
Let me go with, Mike Burns, a Smart Mark video, excuse me. Like, you know, I mean, Mike Burns, you know, in the beginning when I first got to CZW back in, like, late 2002... I mean, was booking at the time, and, you know, he also gave me some great opportunities and taught me some things along the way, and his crew, amazing guys. Excuse me. John and Joe of the UWA, I mean, I consider them like family, taking the time out to come down here.
When does that video come out?
I don't know, but I really can't wait to see it, because it was like...
Me neither, man.
It was...
The teasers on it look fucking
unbelievable. They captured everything. Like, when I took them back to where I grew up, like, they didn't want to leave, because they just wanted to keep going.
Awesome.
Like, it was just... I mean, it almost put a tear in my eyes. I got to see, like me, you know what I mean? It's like, they captured our souls, pretty much.
Oh, it looks so personal and so, like, really, really deep. It's just, like, you don't... Everything is put so vague on wrestling that it's just like they're just characters. Everyone's a character, and you know, you just take everything
they
for
wanted
granted.
To do,
because...
They wanted to do so much more. It ain't just your typical shooting interview. A majority of it ain't even about wrestling.
No, and that's why I seen that. I was like, oh wow, this is awesome shit. And I hope it's like the first of many series that they do, because that is such a great fucking angle they're going.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't wait, but I definitely, you know, love those two guys, like family to me, and hopefully I see them again soon. Mike Quackenbush and the Shikara family for, like, everything from, like, teaching me Lucha Libre to just working for them and meeting a lot of great guys and working with some amazing talent, especially with King of Trios. Can't thank him enough. IWA Mid-South, Jersey All-Pro in the locker room. Felt like home. I wish it was still around. I mean, I wish I start with them or stay with them full time, but definitely Jersey All Pro. WXWC 4 out in Allentown. I like to thank Alpha and Samu for just like, you know, booking me, giving me a WWE tryout, even though like I wasn't gonna get signed anyway, but or interested, but looking at it, like seeing, you know, my talent and giving me that opportunity. Adam Flash, I mean, he's a real good friend of mine, and you know, I hold the guy dearly. I mean, and you're always a blast hanging out. And true veteran, Ruckus, Robbie, you know, Nell, of course. I mean, Blackout was just so much fun, and too bad it ended the way it did. But, I mean, we were like family, and we always looked, you know, out for each other. So, Nick Gage, I mean, ever since when I kind of came back and I wasn't wrestling, he's always wanted me to come back and work. And he would always ask me, even if I'm just there just to watch the show, he would be like, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? I mean, the guy, I mean, is amazing. Fucking
now,
awesome all around.
To just break that real quick, do you think he's going to be all right when he comes out? I mean, obviously,
heard,
we all hope.
I heard he's doing well. I mean, the guy made a mistake. I mean, he had his demons, and they pretty much overpowered him. But I heard he's doing quite well, actually. And, I mean, I'm hoping to see him at some point face-to-face. But with my job, it's like I got to jump through a lot of hoops just to be allowed to do that. So.
Right. The only thing I worry about is, like, guys like fucking Brett Lauderdale, who I think is a piece of shit. I think if he continues to be close to that guy, he's a servant to Nick Gage's demons.
I mean, only time can tell. Like, honestly,
I just hope he separates himself from the people he was, you know, allowing to help him.
I do too. Like, I do too. I mean, he's, I mean, a good guy deep down inside, but just had his personal demons. That's all.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see, I've named a lot of these guys. Yeah, Nate Webb, Chad Henry, who I got to meet, like, you know, months ago through this business. I mean, I just hung out with him and Flash this weekend in Pittsburgh and in Detroit.
Right.
I mean, awesome guy with a lot of great fucking ideas, passionate shit about the business, and he's a fucking NFL scout. I mean,
nice.
You know what I mean? He sees a lot of the bullshit, and, I mean, it's always a great time just hanging out with him and just hearing his ideas, which just enlightens a lot of things. I go with Missy Sampson. She's like family to me. Missy Sampson. She like comes and shows. She's a female worker. Been around for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like family. I've met her when I was like 15 years old, just starting out, and she's been cool ever since then. I mean, she comes by my house. Her and my wife are good friends. I mean, she understood right away after I posted everything, and she knew how I was feeling and supported me 100%. And I can't ask for anything more from a friend, honestly. So, I mean,
now I gotta tell you, and I've made this apology in the past, but like I was misled by Billy Rail. He had said some horrible things about her and stuff like that, and I just kind of like I kind of bandwagoned on that and based my opinion off of what he said. So I kind of like felt badly about her. But now hearing, you know, what you're saying, and I've heard good things from several other people, that I, again, do apologize for that. And, you know, it's just I only know from an outside perspective. So when I hear someone say, like, a bunch of horrible shit, and it's just like, whoa, wow.
I could say with Missy, she's, you know, pretty much part of an argument I had about nowadays. Like, with guys that have wrestled over 10 years have loyalty to each other. All the vets that have 10-plus years are loyal to each other. No matter what company you work for, you're loyal to each other. It's like an unwritten frat, pretty much. And she definitely displays that. Every bar we go to, she's almost like the only female besides my wife, but at least Missy is willing to throw down if it ever came to it, and willing to protect her boys as though we were her little brothers.
There are times
that guys were supposed to get arrested. Kingston beating the fuck out of a guy at Nichols, and cops were arriving. She made sure he got out.
That's good stuff.
You know what I mean?
That really solid shit.
Yeah. Homicide, Reyes, low key, actually, like, you know, being in the locker room with him a few times and him taking time to actually just watch some of my matches and give me some great, like, critique taught me a lot. I mean, especially me looking up to him and Homicide. I mean, both of them, just amazing guys. I mean, true legends in the East Coast, bottom line. Like,
of course.
True fucking legends. And the both of them, like, they just had a big part of my career just from watching them, learning from them in conversation. I mean, being critiqued by them. I mean, it's just like such, you know, an honor having them actually take the time out just to talk to me about things. It's just, you know, amazing experience. Let's see, Steve Mack. I mean, he's a great guy. I love the Hit Squad. I mean, back then they were just fucking ruthless monsters, but Steve's always been a fucking cool dude. And fun I had with the UWF was like getting a chance to hang out with my boys I haven't seen in a long fucking time. And Steve,
the urban wrestling thing?
Yeah. Steve was always like, you know, much love from Steve and everything, especially in any company we work together. It's always a fucking joy just having him around. And he just pretty much, like, brightens up your mood a bit. Just a fun, loving
dude. I mean, other than, you know, it being a place for you to, you know, have a good time and stuff like that with people that, you know, you enjoy the company of, what was your thoughts on that Fed?
I mean, I had fun. I mean, the hurry up and wait bullshit just to wait again was just like, you know, whatever. But I got used to that in the Army anyway. But, I mean, I had to do a lot of cool stuff. Like, working with Kevin Kleinrock was fun, especially cutting promos. Like, it was the first time I actually had fun doing promos because it was like acting scenes out, which were awesome. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had to add my words, whatever, and my attitude. But, I mean, the story came across, and I had a lot of fun. The match I had was great. I mean, I just didn't like the fact that it revolves around these rappers that I can give a fuck about.
I would agree with that, dude. I'm a rapper.
That was the big problem. Like, no one gave a fuck about them. There were just a lot of people that went to those shows and wanted to see us.
Yep.
Because we had a heavier name, you know what I mean? Because of, you know, who we are and what they're there for, a wrestling show, not a fucking, you know, rap concert.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, I had fun, though. I mean, I definitely want to shout out to, like, Steve O'Neill and Kevin Kleinrock for just everything at the UWF. I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, just, you know, hanging out with the guys. A couple, like, little hiccups, but I kind of expected it, hearing how it was before. But, you know, I still, you know, learned a few things and enjoyed doing it. But if I would ever do it again, if I was still wrestling, I don't know. Like, I would just have to really look at the deal and the contract and
hear
what's going on. So, Azrael and Bandito, fucking great guys. I mean, yep. Azrael is a, I would say, is a good friend of mine as well. We always talk. I mean, we see a lot of things the same way. I mean, we think just alike. And, I mean, great guys all around and just very fucking talented. Just very fucking talented.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's see. I got, the Doghouse, LIWS in Brooklyn. Just the experience being there a few times just, like, pretty much opened, you know, the door for me for, you know, becoming who I am, both me and Nell, because that's when, you know, Low Key and Homicide and a lot of the New York guys pretty much came from, and just being invited in there and to work a few shows, it just, that was an honor as well, and it definitely molded us to how we became today, just from being exposed to it. I go with DRS. I mean, not like many, but still, like, every time I see him,
just called it quits himself.
Yeah, I mean, they're guys that I just like being around, you know what I mean? Guys like that, like, very loyal to each other. We've always watched each other's backs, bullshit, laughed, made fun of each other, but they were just, you know, great guys. I mean, it's a shame that, you know, the one got injured long ago and pretty much can't do as much anymore in the one stop, but they have their reasons. But I wish him the best of luck, though. I'll go with at least Niles Young, Drew Gulak, Rory, and then, you know, PWA, which was the Pennsylvania Wrestling Alliance, the gym I pretty much joined to start wrestling. Then it was in, you know, Port Richmond area in Philly. And, I mean, that was a place that I started, you know, everything from bumps, learning how to chain, and, you know, locker room etiquette. I've learned it all from there, and I had a lot of great vets. And, I mean, last but not least, like, my wife for supporting me with every decision I made, even though she didn't want me to actually do this, but she knew this was just a part of me. It was just in my blood, and allowing me to do it.
Part of wrestling?
Yeah, being at the shows, even though I don't really, like, you know, want her there at times, and she could do something else, but she's always wanted to be there just to support me and to make sure I'm okay. But just her support alone, I mean, was just everything I could ever want. You know what I mean? Like, some, you know, wives, girlfriends don't even want you to do it, don't even care what you do, but she at least knew how passionate I was about it and, like, appreciated it and tried to understand and got along with all my friends in the business. And in this business, where a lot of the guys that I got to meet, work with, and got to know along the way, and the guys with over 10 years experience, I'm more loyal with and loyal to me than guys that I've actually deployed with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've noticed. I mean, it's just, I've been fortunate enough to actually got to do what I dreamt of doing in middle school when I was first exposed to, like, ECW and Steve Austin and, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and got to actually do it, built a name, a reputation for myself, and respected is, I mean, all I can ever really ask for, to tell you the truth. Like, I mean, it's not much, you know what I mean, that I could really want. I mean, everything I have now, I'm just happy. And, I mean, I'm happy that, you know, there's people that enjoy my work. I'm happy that, you know, I have fans, and I'm happy about, you know, a lot of people you know, leaving me messages, wishing me, you know, good luck at whatever I do, expressing, you know, how they like my work. And I mean, it's just an amazing feeling. So the truth, but it's like bittersweet. So.
Nah, I don't know, man. I just from my own sentiments, like I said, I always enjoyed your work. Your intensity is off the charts. I mean, you're super strong dude. You can work strong style. You could work quick with anybody. You have, you know, great technical ability. You even proved you could work deathmatch style if it's called upon and you decide to do so. I mean, you've done so many things that I really respect everything you've done. You've served this country. I mean, I don't know what else you could do for me, but I do appreciate everything you've done. I hope this isn't the end, but if it makes you happy for whatever length of time, if it's the rest of your life, then so be it, dude. You've given me it. But, you know, I hope you're able to come back at some point, you know, fulfill whatever other dreams you had in the business, because you deserve to do so if you do, you know, you do decide that you want to. And, I mean, that's pretty much what I got, man.
Yeah, I think now I'm just to fill in the void besides, you know, work and shit. I'll probably just go right back into grappling again and just focus on that more. I mean, I took like almost like a 2-year break because of, you know, wrestling and everything else in my personal life. But, I mean, I'll probably just go back into doing that to fill in that void. At least I don't got to deal with bullshit because, you know, I'm not going to get frowned upon if I slap the shit out of somebody at least.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I every time I get in that ring, it's just, I get butterflies every time I go to the curtain. I mean, I take what I do very seriously, and then if it doesn't come out great and the fans don't, you know, don't react to it well, it's hard on me because I'm just like, you know, a harsh critic of myself. I mean, when I get in there, it's just me, 100% all me, and I don't like cheaping people at all. Like, I just give them everything, just everything I got. Especially the next morning, I feel like shit with a fucking headache, a concussion. I mean, at some point, I think I fractured my nose and actually didn't know it. So, like, I don't know how many concussions. Like, I actually had a conversation with Chad Henry, like, I think Sunday. Like, I'm like, dude, I know it's more than both my fucking hands combined when you're counting digits. Guaranteed that. Knocked out a few times, but I mean, it's just the name of the game. I mean, it's just, I just love doing it, you know what I mean? I just love entertaining people, but I just see myself more as a competitor and not, you know, an entertainer. Like, I looked at it as just competing in the ring. I mean,
yeah. That's
it. That's all I wanted to be, was a respected competitor. I didn't want anything else. I didn't want an e-contract. I was never, ever interested in it. I just wanted to be respected worldwide and work with the best people, and that was it.
I think you definitely got that from the fans that have watched you. I've seen many, many messages from people that definitely respected what you did. So,
well, thank you. Well, for everyone else, feel free to message me on Facebook. Any questions, whatever. I mean, I always respond. I try to respond at least, and, I mean, it's just... just the time to stop, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I might just be at a few shows, depending on who's, like, you know, any of my friends working, and I'll just be there just to hang out, support, and bullshit. So
definitely. So now, just to be selfish, can you, which might be the last, or at least last for a while, Joker promo, cut that for us right now.
Honestly, I don't think I can actually do it, tell you the truth. I think I've been up since like fucking 4 this morning. So.
It's all good, huh?
But, I mean,
it's all good.
We'll put it this way, we'll hang out. Don't worry. We'll hang out like at a show or something. So I'll let you know where I'll be on Facebook and, you know,
no
we'll
worries,
talk
man.
Some more.
I definitely got to hit you up on some private to what supplement you're using to get my back all fucking stupid like yours.
I'll lead you to the right way.
Alright, man, cool,
definitely.
Cool. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on, man, and I wish you only the best, and anytime, man, airwaves are mine anytime you want it.
Got it, I appreciate it, definitely appreciate it.
Sweet, man.
Well, like I said, I mean, you ain't got nothing else, and I think you've given me everything I want, for sure. Have a good night, man.
You too, brother.
All right. Peace. There you go. That's the one and only Cambodian axe murderer Joker. So it is what it is. And, you know, I want to just take a break right here, and then I'm going to come back and I'll talk some more wrestling for you guys out there, because I haven't talked any of it for the most part, other than, you know, my dude Joker coming on. So I'm going to take a break, come back with this.
Who is the DJ that's cutting it up? Bring it back, yo, bring it back. Mad Lion, KRS-One. Set it.
Act like you know I know, act like a star. Else you're gonna give my gun up. Boy, you're mostly fool and crazy. You little idiot style can't face me. Boy, you're mostly fool and you really didn't know. Man, lion, man, then I kill people too. Spread out with my car and gun. What about your home, there's no place to run. No place to duck or no place to turn. So you know, say your f***ing life's done.
Now listen, man, Joker was fantastic. Now, if you listen to my show on a weekly fucking basis, you will understand that I have been speaking the mind of the workers, and I have never fucking even talked to Joker on that type of level. He has said go back to my previous episode and tell me he didn't say a lot of shit that I've been said week in and week out, and I don't work nowhere near that motherfucker. I work with cats. These motherfuckers work in the business, and then they come on once and they tell me, oh, DJ is taking the business for himself. Oh, shit. Well, DJ needs to stop fucking working and focus on the company. Oh, wow, this is crazy shit that I've never heard before. That's fantastic. I can't thank Joker enough for coming on. Great stuff. Love that dude. And I hope he finds his way back into the business, you know, when he's happy about it and he finds a way for it to work. Because, you know, he belongs in this business far, far more than DJ High does. Period. What else? Sean Devari choked out someone in a fucking subway or a fucking train. It was in Minneapolis. And Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yeah, Minneapolis. He choked the motherfucker out on the train. Apparently, this motherfucker was on the train, like, threatening people's lives and just, like, freaking out, like, I'll kill everybody in this bitch. And fucking Sean Devari stepped up and, like, ran up on him and choked him out. And apparently, he choked him out so hard, that dude pissed himself. I would say dude was just, like, crazy drunk and probably had tons of alcohol in him. So when he got choked, like, the bladder was fucking over with. So that was probably the case, but I just thought it was pretty funny. I just, you know, just, it was one of those things I just figured I'd mention because why not? It's fucking hilarious. Beth Phoenix and Kelly are gone from the WWE. From what I hear, Beth Phoenix is leaving because her boyfriend, who is Edge, which is weird to me because, like, Edge was with Lita, and now Punk is with Lita, and now Beth Phoenix used to be with Punk, and now they're with, and it's just like wife swap. Apparently, they're playing wife swap in the WWE, and that's what they're doing. Apparently, you know, from what I heard, Edge has issues with the WWE. They tried to negotiate a Legends deal. It was apparently, like, far less money than he'd be worth type thing. I put that worth type thing in quotations because I've never been an Edge fan, so I don't know what he's worth. But more or less, like, it would make him exclusive. Like, he can't make independent deals. And, like, if you wanted to get into movies, it would have to have a WWE label, or they'd have to get a percentage or something like that. So, you know, it works into big money if you have a market. And who knows? I don't know who he is. But, you know, so that type of thing goes, and he turned it down, and then they had a little issue with that because they're like, oh man, we put you in the Hall of Fame and you're not being loyal and blah blah blah, and they really didn't offer him a lot of money from what I heard. Again, I ain't in the fucking business. It'd probably be tremendous amounts of money if I looked at it, but I'm not Edge. There's that thing, and then it's just like, all right, so now the girlfriend is gone, and Beth is, this is the thing. Like, I've heard that whole thing about the Divas division is going to disappear when Triple H takes over, which is supposed to be, I think, like, mid-October shit, so we're talking, like, next week or some dumb shit. I don't even know. But, I mean, the way I look at it, all right, and you got Beth, and then also Kelly was let go or whatever. Now, here's my thing with Kelly. Like, yeah, I don't have any value for her myself, but she's like this female John Cena. She's been the staple of the female division, the Divas division. She's been she's been that John Cena. She's been the fucking face of it. She's been the person who they've put the flag with. She's running with the flag. Everybody knows her as the fucking, that's that chick, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I mean, and I don't have value in her, but in the same token, what do you do next? Okay, you don't have fallback chicks anymore. You don't have chicks to fall back. It's not like you have that big roster and, like, okay, we lose this dude. Okay, we'll fall back on that dude because he could also main event. What do you got? I mean, you got fucking Layla. Layla's a decent worker, but that's okay. But then you got Caitlin's pretty strong. She could, she can't be best, but she can be pretty strong. So I think she can fit something of that type of role, but not quite best. Like, again, I mean, it's definitely leaving a gap. And Kelly, I mean, you fucking Eve can't act for shit. Every time you put her on the mic, it's like you just fucking handed just a retard a fucking microphone. And it's just like, now talk to the people. Oh, and by the way, if anyone does want to call in, is... what the fuck is it? It's 347-215-8300. So, yeah, I'll continue to talk shit. And if anyone wants to call in and banter with me, fine. How about it? No, but, I mean, she's just... Eve is fucking horrible. She's fucking horrendous. She's a good-looking broad, but she can't act for shit. If she leaves wrestling, she better take still photos. Just still photo modeling. You're like, oh, I'm pretty. Oh, I'm pretty. Because as soon as she starts walking and talking, she fucks it up. She's horrible. She's not that good in the ring. I don't know why people keep giving her credit for that dumb shit. Because it's not good. And then you got, I mean, like, what else you got? It's no good. It's just no good. And then, okay, who else they got? I think they got rid of Tamina, too. Didn't they get rid of Tamina? I think they got rid of Tamina. I don't know. I thought she was good, but I think they got rid of her. So then you got, I should say like five more times, dude. That's great radio. They got, well, AJ isn't really a diva. She's just like put in the wrong position. She's a general manager, but she shouldn't be. She's an on-screen role. She's not a wrestler. So I guess that works for that, but still shouldn't be a GM. It's so ridiculous. Who are the other women wrestlers? Well, I watch NXT, and I gotta tell you, fucking Alicia Fox is looking a million times better than she did before. I don't know if they just handled her bad when she was in the quote-unquote big league, as far as women wrestlers go, or what, but, like, I've seen her with this chick, this white chick that's playing, like, kind of like a goth, anti-diva gimmick type thing. I kind of got the feeling like she was that chick on the NXT thing or whatever the fuck, or the Tough Enough thing, that the chick that was working in the business for a long time, but then her kid or some shit like that, and then I don't know if she killed her kid since then or what, but it kind of looked like that chick. So I don't know if it was that chick or not, but she has kind of like a dark gimmick. Kind of looked like it could have been her. She was working her, and Alicia Fox pulled like a tilt-the-world fucking backbreaker and shit, and I'm just like, for as sloppy as half of these bitches are, this chick would have broke her motherfucking leg if she pulled that shit off. And she spiked that chick, you know what I mean, on a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker. And I was like, oh, shit, who the fuck is that? And then, like, a move or two later, they're like, Alicia Fox with the such a... I'm like, oh, that shit, that's Alicia Fox? So, apparently, she's improving. She's trying to actual wrestle or I don't know. Like, again, you never know when they're just not letting people advance or when they're not able to advance. Because it's hard because they only let so much on screen. They tell you what the fuck to do. And then if you don't do it right, then all of a sudden you come off on screen like you suck. But hey, what does that have to do with anything? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Does that translate to you actually can't work or you can't work on script? I don't know. Let me see something real quick. So yeah, I mean, it's that type of thing. And I don't know, I just think the Divas division is pretty terrible, but you do have those type of things in NXT. They finally did sign Sara Del Rey. So you got that type of stuff going on and hopefully she'll show up. I heard they have, like, some kind of mixed role where they're actually not only trying to bring her up, but they're also trying to make her, like, train the divas type shit. But it sucks because they lost a fucking quarter of their fucking talent as far as divas go. And I've also heard there's so many conflicting things towards that. Because I've also heard that when Triple H gets power, he's squashing the fucking Divas division. Like right off.
You know. I don't know. Fucking Brent says he likes turtles. All right. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, is this Andrew?
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew from Stern Nation.
Big changes going on over there.
Big changes, huh?
Yep. I guess I'll break the news here.
Okay.
Brianne's no longer with our show.
What?
It's just Stephanie and I now.
What happened?
She just decided she didn't want to do it anymore. I don't really know much more than that, which is kind of a shame. But,
That is a shame.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, you know, you've done the same thing, too. You know, when you start doing this show, you're with someone else, and just shit happens, you know. Like, listen,
well,
Brand's, you know, she's not a kid. She's got a job. She's got a living boyfriend. He's got family. You know, it's got a lot of, she's got a lot of stuff going on. So if she can't do it, you know, it's, things happen sometimes.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really upset today, actually. But you know, I'll get over it. We'll get through it.
Hmm. So when are you guys doing a show this week?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think about Stern this week? I don't know if I'm gonna be able to call in. I'm trying to actually fucking go to the gym and just come home and go to sleep tomorrow. I don't know.
How much have you listened to this week?
I've listened to yesterday and Monday.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you when you listen to today because there's a lot of good stuff coming. Well, I'll just quickly let you know what happened today was a DJ came in to do an interview, and she had whooping cough, and Baba Booey saw that, and he still let her go in the studio. And when she said, yes, I have whooping cough, I was like, she better stay the fuck away from me because you know how neurotic he is.
Oh, yeah.
So he did the interview with her, and it was a decent interview, not great. But, you know, she with her voice all fucked up, just, she did a great Joan Rivers impression. And afterwards, it was fucking game on with Baba Booey. And I was just yelling at him for that, you know, like he does, and called his mother and was like, Mom, this might be the last time you talk to me. I just caught whooping cough. I was just so... It's classic, you know. It wasn't as good as anything last week. It was definitely a good show.
Howard called his mom?
Yeah, well, technically someone put his mom on, but yeah, they said, get my mother on the phone. And
was it Howard as his mom or his actual mom?
No, his actual mom.
Oh, I think it's better if it's just Howard as his mom.
Yeah.
Listen,
well, it's better when it's in there with the whooping cough. And then when it's him
not
and his
good.
Dad at the same time, he's like, what? Howard? What?
What?
Fucking love that show, man.
Definitely. I called in earlier. The what?
I said I called in earlier, and I guess you were doing an interview.
Oh, did you? I was doing the interview with Joker. It was great stuff. Yeah, if you watch CZW, you know who he is, and I mean he's a fucking beast, and he just decided to step away from everything because he just wasn't happy with what was going on with the business, and that he called out his home Fed, and they really disappointed him and what was going on. So it was good to hear his opinion on stuff, but Stern earlier in the week, yeah, that chick that he photographed, did that not sound like the Underdog Lady?
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying, and she did. She sounded exactly like Underdog Lady. It was almost where you thought it was Rachel Butera as Underdog
Lady. As soon as she said, I was like, this is a bit. And then she kept going, and it wasn't funny, and I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't a bit? Huh. I'm surprised he didn't tell her. Like, can you speak, like, a little differently? Because people are going to think you're Underdog Lady.
Well, nowadays, people know that Underdog Lady is not going to be part of his show, so they'll just think it's, like I said, Rachel Butera doing Underdog Lady.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
if you ever get a chance to talk to Rachel Butera, she's pretty awesome.
No, I'm sure she is. She has quite awesome impressions.
Pretty much I'm sort of, for lack of a better term, on her payroll. Anytime that she calls in, she's expecting me to make the clip for her. And I'm more than happy to do it because she's awesome.
Great stuff. I was talking about the Divas Division just now, for what it's worth. And I don't know what you think about it, but I mean, we're now less a female John Cena and a Beth Phoenix. And I don't know where it goes from there.
Yeah, I mean, really all you got right now is like Eve and whoever they decide to put in front of her at the time.
Yeah, Eve acts. Eve can't act.
No, she can't.
She's
the best
horrendous.
They have right now, you know?
Well, Layla.
I kind of wish they'd pull the plug on this whole AJ GM thing and let her get back into wrestling, because she's not great. None of them are, but she's decent. She can hold her own and at least make a match somewhat watchable.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think Layla's better than both of them, but that's just, not by miles. I mean, see, the thing is like they originally tried to do the Eve or tried to do the AJ thing with Eve, but Eve can't act. Like, you remember when they had her backing, I think she was backing like Teddy Long or someone, right?
Yeah.
And I think they were leading into that whole GM role. I really do think that they were really leading her into the same thing that AJ is doing right now, only she fucking did horribly. So they scrapped it. They sent her back to the fucking drawing board, and then they did the thing with AJ. But then AJ just feuds with the same people she was feuding with before, only at like a managerial role, which is ridiculous because you're supposed to be looking over the whole roster, not just Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And it's the only time it works for her is when she's feuding with the same people she was feuding with. So I think AJ's a great actor. I don't know about wrestler.
This thing she's doing with Vicky Guerrero was kind of interesting, but it's not like they're going to have a match. And if they do, it's not going to be a good one by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, no, it's just fuck no. I don't want to see that. I don't know.
The thing with Divas is, too, and I was talking to someone about this recently, is if you look back, since they started calling them Divas, really. So you're looking like back around late 90s to 2000.
Okay.
The shelf life of a diva is about anywhere between 5 and 7 years. If you look at all of the big ones, Trish Stratus, Lita, Mickie James, Victoria, all of those ladies, they stuck around for within that time frame, 5 to 7 years. So Kelly's gone. She came in, she debuted in 06, I think. So, she's within that time frame. Beth Phoenix even later than that. So I think Beth Phoenix actually showed up the first year, but she got hurt. So a lot of them just sort of have that shelf life on them, and once it's gone, they have no use for them. You're 30 years old. We don't need you.
I guess. Does anyone feel, other than me, weird about the fact that Edge and CM Punk wife swapped? I don't know.
Well, that's no secret. That's no new thing for Edge.
I guess. Edge is with Beth and Punk is with Lita. And it's like, wait a minute. All right then. Go ahead. It's just weird shit to me. It's just like, hey, you like that guy? Yeah, I like that guy one time. Hey, try that out. All right, I'm going to go try that out. You want to switch beers real quick? I had a good brew over here. All right, go ahead.
Man, Punk gets around too, boy, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that too. It is what it is, I guess. Is that maybe a little swingers with a fucking longevity on it?
Yeah, I guess Edge can be gone, but there'll always be a part of him around. DNA.
There's a lot of swapping DNA.
So full of love, you can't help but get some on you.
There you go. What I was thinking about otherwise than that on the WWE thing, because I really don't have a lot of feelings on it because it honestly bores the balls off of me. But and that's hard to do. But not hard to bore me, but the ball side, yeah, it's a rough swing. But the Ryback thing, I still have the feeling, I am not giving up this feeling until it's out of the fucking water, but the fact that I think Ryback is going to join forces with CM Punk. So far, they have still preserved the idea for me because they've still only done stare downs and Ryback hyperventilating when he sees CM Punk. And it's not beyond CM Punk pulling the master swerve. And I've heard a lot of backstage stuff saying that CM Punk seems winded and he needs a break and this and that. This is clearly not the time for CM Punk to take a break. So if anything, if they put a guy like Ryback to take the workload while CM Punk plays the chicken shit heel and runs away and cuts promos and Paul Heyman plays the legal representative and all that, it would make all the sense in the world to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, but
it could be, and I don't know if that's going to happen, but it could be really good. It could be like a New Straight Society, only, you know, a little bit better because it's Ryback, not Luke Gallows.
Right.
And I could very easily see Ryback as an Intercontinental or United States champion very soon. So,
well,
you know,
yeah,
he's
gunning at the Intercontinental with Miz, so he holds that title, and then, like, you know, he steps up. People are like, yeah, I want the world title. And, like, CM Punk's like, listen, you don't understand what it even means to be a world champion. Maybe you need to, you know, climb the rungs before you even come near what I'm dealing with. And Paul Heyman's like, you don't know, you know, you're going to have to talk to me before you talk to him. And before you even talk to me, you need to deal with this guy. And fucking Ryback slides in the ring and takes him out and then turns into like a 2-3 month feud and Ryback wins. And, you know, I mean, there's tons of things that they can do with that. And it could also, bring longevity to what CM Punk's doing. I honestly thought from right from the start that Brock Lesnar was going to be the guy to do that. As soon as that whole thing was like, oh, he's with Paul Heyman, I'm like, oh, Brock Lesnar is going to be the beast that keeps people away from the champion CM Punk. And then it's like, well, yeah, Brock has limited engagements and he may or may not be cool with the company. And, you know, he probably has a handful of things left to do on this year. And I don't think Brock Lesnar's done with the company, even though he said that. I think he still has engagements that he signed on for, but I don't think he's going to do more than that. So I think you need a week in and week out bodyguard beast guy that plays that role. And who have they built up more than that other than Ryback? I mean, are they going to really fucking troop Ryback in there after all this bullshit and just have him job to CM Punk and be like, okay, streak's done. Okay, back to the mid-card or something.
Yeah, and I remember reading that Brock Lesnar's deal was for something like 22 appearances or something like that.
Yeah.
Which explains why he doesn't match, he's gone for a couple months. He doesn't match, he's gone for a couple months. So it sort of explains why there's so much time in between appearances so that way they could spread it out to WrestleMania of next year. I personally don't think we'll see him until the earliest, probably Survivor Series or so, but probably more like the Royal Rumble. And then after that, we'd probably see him on almost a weekend basis.
Yeah.
But do you think CM Punk's going to hold that title long enough to wrestle The Rock at Royal Rumble?
Most likely. I mean, again, if you just put a guy in front of him like Ryback and you make that fucking guy his bodyguard, and I'm telling you, you could make that last 2 years if you play that role right. And people aren't even going to be mad. They're going to be like, how do you get through to CM Punk? And CM Punk has still worked like every 3 to 4 months, that crazy fucking great technical match, and then pull it out in the end like he's been doing, but keep people away from him for those other times. And then, you know, you got Paul Heyman to work things politically where, oh, no, here's what we're actually going to do. And then CM Punk works a match that he's going to easily win. And then you work other matches where CM Punk is up against this guy, but Ryback fucks it all up.
And now that guy needs to fight Ryback to get through to CM Punk again. And I mean, you can really draw it out. You have so many elements to draw it out as a heel, you know? And that's the thing that makes a huge difference between just CM Punk versus everybody and how much longer can we do this. And then CM Punk, super manager guy, and fucking Ryback running through people in his defense. I mean, it's just with another title. I mean, it's the possibilities are endless. It could really make the main event very, very interesting.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so interesting with what could be happening there too. You know, there's like a lot of potential, which as we all know, they'll kind of screw that up. You know, with the CM Punk Rock thing, it's like, I don't want to see that at the Royal Rumble. I want to see that at WrestleMania. You know, if they work something out where, you know, God forbid Cena wins that title, and it's him and Rock at Rumble, Punk wins the Royal Rumble, and that's your WrestleMania main event. That would be a little bit better, but it seems like they're on a collision course for Rock and Punk one way or another.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. We're going archive in less than a minute, and so everybody live listening, it's going to cut off, but it will be still recording for another hour. Yeah, everything will still be downloaded, so on the archive, it'll be all good. You can still catch everything. It's not just cut off, so just so you know. Go ahead, man.
I forgot what I was saying.
Rock and Punk, and, you know.
Yeah, that would be a great WrestleMania main event, I feel. But like I said, they're probably not going to do that. But in theory, that would be the better thing to see.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it would be all right. I mean, I know they've strived and strived and strived for it to be CM Punk versus Steve Austin and that type of thing, but who knows? Who knows what they're actually going for? They've teased a lot of things, so they can go a lot of angles. When they talked about the CM Punk and JR thing, where he trashed him, Austin could easily come to his rescue within the next 6 months, which would lead us to WrestleMania. You know, I mean, it's anything's possible, but they have a habit of letting people down. So I don't really know.
Yeah, it seems like they're sort of eventually heading towards that Punk Austin collision course. But based on recent interviews I've seen with Steve Austin, he's nowhere in the shape he needs to be anywhere near a wrestling ring, even as a referee or whatever he might do.
Yeah, it's that's
not that he's sick, just he's very skinny. Like he's very small right now. I think a lot of the moves he's doing is that's sort of what he needed to do for it.
He's not even jacked up at all.
No, definitely not. If you watch that video that they put out last year on him, you could see him starting to get small.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know that. You know. But I don't know. I mean, if you got anything else you want to put out there or whatever, because I don't know, man. I got, like, fucked on the first, like, tons of time on the beginning of the show. I started out trying to do my NFL thing. Next thing you know, I just got, like, screwed where, like, it cut me off, like, mid-sentence, and then I couldn't even call back in, and then I had to start, like, I had, like, 20 minutes of dead air while I'm trying to, like, live chat with the Blog Talk reps. And then they finally put me back on air right before my guest called in at 10. And, you know, I got on with him and did, you know, like an hour and a half type thing. And, it was kind of rough because I skipped my whole NFL thing. I'm probably going to have to do like an NFL fucking wrap up or, you know, free NFL thing like tomorrow or Friday or something.
Let's talk some NFL.
Oh, shit. You want to really? Fuck, man. Jesus Christ. Jesus. I'm not even going to pull the thing.
I'm looking at the point spreads right now.
I don't know. If you don't have my point spreads. Probably
I have footballlocks.com point spread.
Okay. Well, yeah, fuck it.
Wait. All right. Here we go. Arizona at St. Louis. Tomorrow, and Arizona is favored by a point and a half on my books.
That's what I have to.
So yeah, it's all CBS Sports from what I go. But I have Arizona because Arizona's undefeated. I'm not sold on them. I'm not fucking sold on them. Just like, oh yeah, they're fucking undefeated. Yeah, that's what it is. Like, come on, Arizona. I mean, they scraped it out against fucking the Dolphins. Tannehill threw for 431 yards as a Dolphin quarterback last week against Arizona. Let's not get over fucking whelmed with the Arizona Cardinals being undefeated. But I don't think St. Louis is going to be the team to beat them, so I'm going to go with Arizona. But I don't want to get people to fucking, thought that, no, I'm just on that train now. Believe me, they haven't even seen us. They're going to see us twice this year. It's not going to be good. So I'm going with Arizona on this one, but that's,
Yeah, for one thing, St. Louis is terrible. But the one thing that you also have to sort of realize, too, when you're looking at the lines, is the lines are not necessarily Vegas saying, oh, they're going to win by 1.5. It's Vegas saying, what can we make the line that'll get an equal amount of action on each side?
Right.
Like, that's how they come up with the lines. So, 1.5, essentially you're betting on who's going to win the game, because how often is there a one-point game?
Yeah, not often. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, I like St. Louis, too.
You like St. Louis?
No, I'm sorry, Arizona. I like Arizona, too. St. Louis hasn't shown much this year and will continue to not show anything.
Yeah. We got Baltimore, Kansas City. Baltimore's favored by 4.5 points. I got to go with Baltimore, even though Baltimore, they're kind of up and down. They're really not a consistent team. They'll put a beating on a team, and then they'll let other teams really, really close in the game. So I really don't know how to call it, but I do got to go with Baltimore on this one because Kansas City's been just not convincing enough. So I got to go with Baltimore.
Double up that line, and I still like Baltimore.
Okay. Then we got Philly, the Battle of Pennsylvania. We got Philadelphia at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's favored by 3.5 points. Philadelphia, for a team that has as many wins as they do, I don't think anyone else has as many turnovers as they do. And I can't see Pittsburgh losing this game. I really can't. Philly is going to take a huge downward spiral, probably quarterback change sometime during the season. And I can't possibly imagine that Philly's just going to go into Pittsburgh and beat them. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine that they won the amount of games they have, but they have by a point, 2 points, scraping by.
Also, when you're looking at the betting lines too, what they do is the home team will be granted 3 points. So in this case, the one I'm looking at is 3.5. It's basically saying Pittsburgh by half, but they're giving them 3 for being the home team.
Right.
So when you see those lines of 3, it's basically them saying that those two teams are even.
Right. So?
So yeah. Pittsburgh, they should run away with that one pretty well. They're not an incredibly impressive team either, but...
No, they're not.
But they're also coming off a bye week.
Yeah. All right, you got Green Bay at Indianapolis. Green Bay's favored by 7.5 points. Kind of rough. Green Bay is a team that I don't think should be really proud of themselves right now. I think they have big, big fucking problems. I think Green Bay, as a team that people, expected to just run away with it, and last year, you had all those wins in a row without losing. I think Green Bay is an overrated team. Now I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, hands down. But do I think that this team is just, I don't think this is the theme of the new millennium. I don't think that this is a team that doesn't need to worry. Right now, they definitely need to worry. They got beaten by our guys, and hey, man, that's our guys, and you know, I have a lot of pride in my guys, so I don't really fault them for that, because that was a hard fought game back and forth. But they just scraped it out by 1 point against New Orleans. They beat, who else did they beat? Chicago, which, you know, I mean, you could take your own offense to that. Other than that, I mean, who else? Green Bay lost to somebody else, too.
Green Bay lost two games. Who was it? Hold on.
It's 2-2. And I think
the third
right?
place in that division right now.
Right. I lost another game. And Green Bay lost to shit.
Seattle. The ones that the refs kind of screwed him on.
Oh, yeah. That was that
and
one.
And screwed me on, my bet.
Touchdown Seahawks.
Wait, what?
Touchdown Seahawks. what are you gonna do? That's too bad.
So
guys.
And they definitely didn't look impressive beating New Orleans this past week.
No, and honestly, like you obviously that Seahawks fucking touchdown was fucking ridiculous and a horrible, horrible call, as I said last week. But the Seahawks didn't even belong in the game with Green Bay, so the fact that Green Bay let them in the game shows a little bit of Green Bay's identity, in my opinion. If it comes down to a Hail Mary, you're calling yourself an even team with the Seahawks at that point. And
the
refs fucked you, but come on.
With the talent on Green Bay's team, that messed up call should have made the game like 30-14, not 14-12.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, you know, okay, yeah, the refs fucked you. I understand. Why were they in the game? Just like, oh, fucking Arizona fucking beat the Patriots. Like, okay, let's not talk about ref calls. Arizona beat the Patriots. Stop it. Just fucking stop it. The Patriots aren't as good as they should be.
You know,
it's
the
four quarters,
season.
And then go, hey,
that's
fucking
playoffs,
stupid
refs. They're going to see what you can do then.
I guess, yeah. I mean, Green Bay, Indianapolis. Green Bay is favored by 7.5. I'm still going with Green Bay. You know, Indianapolis, they have their issues. Andrew Luck's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be that good this year. He's going to make his ups and downs. Green Bay's going to make their statements where they can. I kind of think this is going to be one of the games that they can, and then they'll falter later. But I'm just going with Green Bay on this one.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not a big fan of these rookie quarterbacks starting because, and historically when that's happened, it's been bad for these players in the long run of their careers.
All right.
You know, realistically, I'm sure they couldn't afford it. But the smart thing for the Colts to do would have been to draft Andrew Luck and keep Peyton Manning because,
sure.
In my opinion, the only reason Aaron Rodgers is as good as he is because he had 4 years of holding Brett Favre's clipboard.
Yeah.
You know, he had 4 years there to learn from one of the best. If Andrew Luck had that with Peyton Manning, he'd probably 5 years from now be along the lines of an Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
But it could have been that they couldn't afford them both, so I'm not really sure of all that.
Probably.
But yeah, I like Green Bay to cover that spread.
Okay. Next up, you got Miami at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 4.5 at home. I got to go with Cincinnati. I'm not that sold on Miami. Miami just does not look like a great team, even though they're able to put up numbers here and there. Reggie Bush wants to continue to try to prove himself as not as a bust, but he's also banged himself up, you know, within the course of doing so, which is classic Reggie Bush. It's like, oh, look, he's got some. Oh, he's down. And I don't know about Miami just like really forming themselves into some kind of a divisional threat or anything like that, even though they're always scrappy against their divisional guys, but against, you know, Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is going to put up some points. They've been really good offensively as far as putting up points. I don't know if Miami can match that, even though, again, like I said, Tannehill put up
It's like fucking 400 yards and shit. And 431 yards. I don't think the same is going to go against Cincinnati, but we'll have to see. I'll take Cincinnati.
Smart money always bets against Miami. Miami and one other team, which I'll talk about later. But, yeah, Cincinnati. You know, my wife's a Miami fan, so it's always kind of funny to see her watching those games. She always tells me how great Dan Marino is, and my response is generally, if he's so great, why does he have the same number of Super Bowl rings as I do?
I get into arguments all the time where people are telling me he was still a better quarterback than Montana. I'm like, that's a great story.
And why does he not have any of his records anymore?
Oh, your team was all right. Yeah, okay, then I'm so sorry. Again, my condolences.
Yeah, the one chance he got, they lost to Montana's team. So, you know.
Yeah, you can, you know, get some cream for that butt hurt, but otherwise, I don't need to talk to you right now. Next game is Cleveland at the New York Football Giants, and the Giants are favored by 10.5 points. If one thing I could say about Cleveland is they have kept games close this year, I think within a few years, Cleveland is actually going to be a team. I honestly think they're going to be a good team within 2 to 3 years, and because they've kept in the game with teams that they probably shouldn't be in, they lose the game. But we were doing that a few years ago, and now we're all of a sudden a contender again, and a pretty serious contender at that. I think Cleveland has the ability to stay in the game. And I don't think the New York Giants have actually been quite dominant this year. When it comes down to it, they've been dominated by their division. They've lost to the Eagles. They've lost to the Cowboys. They have a lot to worry about when it comes down to the end of the season, as they always do. I mean, they barely scraped into the playoffs when they won the Super Bowl last year. So I got to go with Cleveland, at least keeping it close, and I'm not giving 10.5 to the Giants, so I'm going with Cleveland.
The Giants will win, but not by 10.5.
Right. No, I agree.
At 10.5, there's no way I would be taking that.
Yep. You got Atlanta at Washington. Atlanta away is favored by 3.5 points. I'm going with a complete upset win on this one and saying Washington wins.
Well, simply because I live in Virginia and all the Washington fans are complete assholes, I'm going to go with Atlanta.
All right.
We a little funny story. On opening day, I went with my friends to watch some games, and it was, you know, I was in Northern Virginia. We were going to see a concert that night. So we went up early in the day. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings to just, you know, watch some games and drink and whatever. And there was this guy who you could tell he had just bought his Robert Griffin jersey, and it was the white one too. And then he had the napkins that he put together, and you know, to cover up his shirt. So you could tell he was trying to avoid getting sauce on it. First time I looked over, he had sauce all over it. It was hilarious.
That's good stuff.
And then it was so fun because it was like they scored a touchdown against New Orleans, and it was, and they were and they, like every time they were cheering as if they had just won the Super Bowl or something. It's like, congratulations, they're winning against a team on their third string head coach.
I don't know. RG3 is a beast, though. I think they're going to make waves. I think that the NFC East is going to be surprisingly amazed by the fact that they're going to contend with Washington for playoff spots. I really think whether it be wild card or the actual division, depending on how bad the Giants do. And, I mean, the Eagles, I mean, believe me, with their fucking 3-1 or whatever the fuck they're doing, like, it's not going to turn out with them being on the top of the division at the end of the year. They're going to tank and possibly go through a few quarterbacks. I don't think the Giants are as strong as they were last year. I think they've lost quite a bit, and I sure shit don't think the Cowboys with their 5 interceptions this past week is
is
a viable thing going on. So Washington is not that far of a reach. I know people wanted to shit on my division coming into this year and like, oh, yeah, well, San Francisco, yeah, well, obviously your division is shit. Well,
there's an undefeated team in our division, and it isn't us. And they're also talking about us being one of the baddest motherfuckers, and fucking Seattle beat a couple of teams that people didn't want to see them beat either. So leave our division alone, you know. Let's fucking consider us a football team and go on with our season. That's all.
Yeah, the NFC East is a division that's stuck with a ton of trouble.
Sure.
Because there is nothing going on there. All those teams are – realistically, any of those four teams could win that division.
Yeah, honestly.
Probably none of those four teams will win the wild card, but, you know, it's basically – that's what the NFC North used to be, where it was some teams got to win it.
Yeah, I'll find it hilarious if we win our division and the fucking Cardinals win the wild card and be like, oh, our division sucks, doesn't it? Oh, okay, fantastic. We have two teams in the fucking playoffs. But, again, it's whatever. Then we have the Bears at the Jacksonville Jaguars with the Bears favored by 4.5 points. I don't know. I thought such tremendous things of Maurice Jones-Drew, and I really thought this was going to be his resume for whatever other team gives him the money that he wants or to get the money he wants from the team he's at. And I just don't think he showed up to be that. I think a lot of the rest of the team is also lacking to even support him in doing that. I'm not impressed by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I got to go with the Bears on this one.
Well, you know I'm going to go with the Bears. 4.5.
Yeah.
Even at Jacksonville, coming off the game they played on Monday night, which, you know, of course, I loved it. And like I said earlier about the Washington fans, here there's either Washington fans or Dallas fans. And I love sitting in the bar watching that game. People who are, like, cheering early, I'm like, oh, wait, what's the score? I can't read. You know, and Matt Forte was playing great on Monday. And Brandon Marshall was a beast, which is kind of what I've expected those kind of things out of him and Cutler when he got that trade. So seeing that come out is great, especially because Brandon Marshall's on my fantasy team.
Nice. Well, next game up, we got the Seattle Seahawks at the Carolina Panthers. This is kind of a rough game. I could kind of go either way on this one. The Carolina Panthers are favored by 3.5 at home, so it's more or less like a pick game. Man, I think Cam Newton has been beat down a lot this season. He's been looking like a sad dude, and they've, you know, posted pictures with him with a towel on his head looking down. They're like, you know, camming, like the Tebowing and Newtoning or whatever. But I think he's a pretty fucking star-powered quarterback. Obviously, he's not going to rule the league just yet, if ever. But, you know, he's got some shit behind him. Seattle does have some power there, but I think Carolina's going to come away with this game. So, you know.
Yeah, if nothing else, Carolina will probably win that just because they have the home crowd advantage. They don't really have anything. Neither of these teams really have a lot going for them. So that's
sort of
all you can really say about it.
Yeah. So then up next, we have Buffalo at
San Francisco.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens there. You know, listen, I'm pretty happy coming off of what we just did. Now, I mean, you got to figure, you know, we beat the Jets 34-0. They're the Jets. Fucking Santonio Holmes is out for the season because he crumbled before he hit our defense. That's, you know, that's his own personal problems he has to deal with in the future. But, you know, we didn't even get to hit him. He just fucking fell down and just ended his season. You know, it was like season suicide, and I don't know what to do with that. But beyond that, listen, Alex Smith missed two fucking downfield bombs that would have been easy touchdowns. Like, he overthrew two long bombs that nobody would have fucking stopped if he put him on the money. So he fucked two passes up. And David Akers, who's a money fucking kicker, missed two field goals, which you just don't see that often. So, yeah, you might see some fucking missed passes by Alex Smith, but you really don't see those field goals missed too much by David Akers. So when it comes down to it, it was probably
easy a 40-50 point win by us if it wasn't for those things. We still won 34-0, held up on defense, put a beating on their fucking offense, turnovers, everything else, and put up a lot of running. And we did a lot of things there, and I'm really happy. I mean, the way that we used Colin Kaepernick, we out-Tebowed Tebow. You know, we brought in Kaepernick and just fucking optioned his ass into the end zone. Like, oh, yeah, guess what? You like a running quarterback? Check out. We really made a mockery out of fucking everything Rex Ryan had in his brain. But it is the Jets. I'm not going to take it, you know, any further than what that is. But, you know, Buffalo – talk about the other side of this fucking game. Buffalo allowed, Jesus Christ, they allowed, what was it, 45 points in the second half. Yeah. 6 touchdowns in the second half of the ball game. Oh, shit. Oh, man, that's just, it's fucking ballistic. Fucking Fitzpatrick threw for 350 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. And if the Patriots can force him into 4 interceptions, what the fuck is the Niners defense going to do to this guy's life? It's not good. And, I can only be optimistic for my guys, but I cannot see this working out well for the Buffalo Bills. And they've had their upsprings, but it was against those kind of Jets teams and stuff like that. And I don't know. I obviously got to go with my guys off of this.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a great performance from them last week. It was a great teamwork performance because, they had, 9 players combined for 250 yards rushing? Just rushing,
yeah.
Not to mention all the passing yards. Like you said, it's the Jets, so they were going to run away with that game regardless. But, you know, that's a good – that was almost like a practice game. It's almost like when you play the Jets, you have to remind them that it's an actual game and not a scrimmage.
Sure.
But I suppose the line on that one again?
It was 9.5.
Oh, yeah, they'll should get that and a few more. They should pretty much run away with that game. I'm thinking they win that game by at least 17.
Yeah, I'm biased, but again, I don't think the Buffalo Bills are going to fucking crumble us whatsoever, especially getting caught in a trap game on, week 3. I think we're going to be pretty strong against a team like Buffalo. So, next game up, we got Tennessee at Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 5.5 at home. The game that they put up against us proved to me that they have something to offer. Against a team like Tennessee, I think they will continue to make that happen. Now, will they over the season? I don't think so, but they stacked their deck. They did their thing against us. They really made huge fucking line-breaking performances. Like they got into our backfield a lot, and that disrupted the shit out of us. And against a team like Tennessee that has such fucking problems with Chris Johnson getting off the fucking line, I think Tennessee's going to have a huge fucking problem with Minnesota that day. So I got to go with Minnesota without even a question in my mind.
Yeah, Tennessee's weak. That's all I can say. They're weak. They're going to have a lot of problems.
So you got to go with Minnesota too, huh?
Yeah, they should cover that and then some.
Yeah, I would think so too. And, Ponder did a fantastic job against us too, as well as the pass rush that they put on. I just think that Ponder did a great job. He got out of the way of our fucking fantastic defense. Our defense might have not been, quite a top-notch that day. They didn't, play to their level. But even when they did, I mean, he ran in, with guys in pursuit of him several times and still made a pass that got a first down or, made plays out of shit that shouldn't have been fucking sacks. Like, they're another team that, if they keep playing at the performance that they did against us, they might put out some shit in the next couple of years. They'll surprise a few teams here and there at any given Sunday, or Thursday or Monday, whatever the fuck, because there's a lot of days now. I don't think you can just easily count the Minnesota Vikings out.
And it's, you know, it's weird to say that, but again, let's not forget that they have one of the best running backs in the fucking league when he wants to be that.
When he's healthy.
Right, right, yeah, you know, when he wants to.
That reminds me of a couple years ago that I had a nickname for Matthew Stafford, which was Matthew Stafford, if he's healthy.
Yeah. But then we got, man, this is a tough game. Denver at New England. New England favored by 7.5 points. Here's another team that I don't think should be proud of themselves, and that's the New England Patriots. They've lost to the Cardinals. They've scraped it out on several occasions. I don't think the New England Patriots should be a team that's revered as the top here or there. I mean, yeah, they scored 45 points in the second half, but you know, you had people like Two Scoops. If I, you know, would have talked to him earlier, I would have brought this up too. Earlier in the game, we're posting, New England's woes in Buffalo strike them once again. Yeah, and then they come back and score fucking 45 points in the second half. When they end the game with 52 points, that does not show a strong showing. If a team comes out of the gate and puts you away in the first half, and then you score 45 in the second half, how many teams are going to let you score 45 points in the second half? Now, I'm not saying that the Broncos' fucking defense is going to eliminate every possibility of that, because I'm not really sold on the Broncos as a whole because they're a transitional team. But I think a guy like Peyton Manning is going to strike all game long. So it's going to be a shootout. You're going back to the old Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady matchup. And I don't know about no 7.5 points. And I don't even know about New England winning this game if Arizona comes out and beats them. So I got to go with Denver on this one.
Yeah. Denver's been looking really good these last few days. Peyton Manning's been showing that he still has it. It's a tough game to call, though, with that line. New England's not been playing too terribly well. I mean, they destroyed Buffalo the other day, which, you know, not too difficult to do that. But Denver's been looking extremely impressive, so I'm going to have to go with them.
All right. Fantastic.
I hate agreeing because it's so boring.
Huh?
I said I hate agreeing because it's so boring.
I know, and you've done that the entire time.
we only have two games left.
Hey,
a few weeks down the road when we start talking about NBA, we'll be definitely doing some disagreeing.
Yeah, well, the Miami Heat win everything, and then, I don't know, you know, whatever else you're talking about. I don't really call, like, day-to-day games because it doesn't matter at the end of the day, as they say. The Miami Heat win, you know, unless you're a Laker fan, and then I'll see you in the finals. you know. Jesus Christ, you get your Knick fans like, still, we're ready. And like, just shut up. Just stop it. You're not winning. You need to worry about the Nets now in your same state, let alone my fucking Heat. Stay away from me. Anyway, next game we got, who's your basketball team anyway?
Chicago.
Oh, perfect. So, hope Rose is healthy this year because he had the number one seed and, you know, then that happened. We got San Diego at New Orleans. New Orleans is favored by 3.5 at home. Oh, I can't be more happy. And see, dude, these people don't understand. Like, I only reposted. I didn't create any of these memes on the Facebook. I only reposted that. And I had a few people that I'm friends with that were Saints fans like, dude, what the fuck? Why all the Saints hate all of a sudden? Like, fucking, I know they're playing like shit, but what the fuck? And I'm like, oh wait, did you forget where, like, you guys were one of the most dominant teams in the NFC, and we were a kind of a sleeper team, and then we came up and played really hard fucking football and met you in the playoffs, and then we won definitely the best playoff game of last year, and in a hard-fought game, and then later found out that you were trying to personally fucking end the careers of several of our players.
Like, oh, he had a concussion earlier this year. Hit him in his fucking brain. Oh, that guy had a fucking ACL injury. Fucking make him never walk again. Oh yeah, hit the head and that will kill the body on that guy. You know, yeah. Oh, I'm a 49er fan. I'm supposed to think you guys are cool now? You know, come on, man. Like, I won that game and I was like, holy shit, man. We won a hard-fought game. Fucking great shit, man. We beat the fucking best team in the NFC as far as I'm concerned. And then later on find out, oh, they were trying to also fucking end careers. Well, now I think you guys are cunts. And when you start out the next fucking season with a bunch of suspensions and an 0-3, 0-4 start, oh, I can't be more happy. Fuck yourself. You know, that's just my feeling. You know, I've never hated the Saints a day in my life until, oh, I found out you were trying to fucking kill half of our team. Great. Our team were Al-Qaeda to your fucking U.S. Army. That's fantastic. Well, guess who wins that?
Well, here's a little disagree.
But I got to go with San Diego on this one because, you know.
Principle.
Yeah. Well, not even that. New Orleans is really shaky. They're really not a fucking solid team. You know, they almost won the game against Green Bay, but again, Green Bay is not a team that should be proud of themselves right now. And they're going to go out there and throw. Fucking Drew Brees is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Their defense is shit without Jonathan Vilma. And I don't think you're going to go out there and be a solid team without, you know, your defensive leader. These guys are scared to fucking hit people at this point because of everything that happened with the bounties. I think that team is just on fucking really, really wobbly legs, you know, outside of my just, and it's not even a hatred at this point. It's all fun. It's just like, I already won. Like, we won the playoff game and now you blow. So, you know, you barely signed your fucking quarterback in the off season, which would have been death to that fucking organization for the next probably 10 years. But they got him, and he's not even happy because he didn't get his money. So it's just like, yeah, okay, well.
State of reverse for the 2004 Saints.
Yeah, 0-4, just fucking Wade Wilson. Fantastic.
Well, I think New Orleans is going to win this game. I think they're gonna beat that or cover that spread. Interesting side of this game. Interesting sign to this game is it's the highest over-under of the week, 54.
Oh, wow.
This is really odd for two teams that, you know, theoretically shouldn't be putting 54 points on the board.
Yeah, probably not. Then you got the Houston Texans, who have, you know, beat such phenomenal teams as the Dolphins, the Jaguars, the Broncos in a transitional period, and the Titans, who were such a clear favorite to win the Super Bowl because they beat such elite teams such as those. You know, they're going into Jersey to play the Jets. They're favored by 7.5 points. I think Houston will win this and continue to be called the best fucking team in the NFL because they haven't lost yet and stuff. But, you know, take it for what it is. I still go with Houston on this one.
They've got the advantage, too, similar to they play in a division a lot like the NFC East. It's just very weak. I mean, obviously, they're a good team, so they should be running away with that division this year. But they've got the advantage there. The point spread I'm looking on that is 8. I'm not sure if that's what you're seeing. They should cover that. They should run away with it. And
yeah,
with me, with the Jets, it really doesn't matter what quarterback they put in. They're not going to win many games. That's the other team I was talking about earlier. The smart money's always been against them.
Yeah. That's just another thing that we pretty much got through this. But I've been missing Artie like a motherfucker lately, and I just realized recently that I can get the Nick and Artie show on podcast through iTunes and shit.
Right.
And so I downloaded like every episode and started listening to it, and I just love hearing Artie. So, and Nick DiPaolo is a great comedian as well. So I listened to it last week, and he's like fucking, he's like begging Nick to like give him like 50 grand, 100 grand to put on the Niners against the Jets. He's like, listen, it's like Monday I can walk in with potato salad or I can walk in with 50 grand. I could, you know, just like, here's a free 50 grand or here's potato salad. He's like, you know, it's just that easy. He's just like, I can't make the bet, but if you make the bet, I'll give it to my guy. And, you know, he ain't got nothing to do with me, but it's free money. It's like, you're not even doing anything. You're stopping it for coffee. It's the same thing. He's like, the coffee will cost you more than this. It's an easy bet. Like, why would you not do it? And he kept trying to like botch him. He really just kept trying to get him into it. He wouldn't go for it. So then, of course, Monday, he's like, see what I'm saying? Like, I show up here and I show up with potato salad. I ain't got nothing else. You know, it could have been 50 grand of potato salad, you know, and now you got nothing. It's just so funny because he was just so adamant on, like, there's no fucking way that the Jets are clearing the spread. The Niners are going to fucking rape them. And it's fucking free money. Why do you not want free money? You don't want money? What are you eating? Like money? It's just funny. He's like, I can't bet. You know, my addiction and all that. But, you know, if you bet, I can't hit against that. He was just trying to live through Nick. It was so great.
Of Artie's addictions, though, gambling is probably the best one for him.
Yeah, he's obviously more in touch with how that could work out.
in theory, the gambling one won't kill him. So, you know, I'm all in favor of it. You know, and it's such a great show, too. And it's just like, I wish it was already on and uncensored because that's when he's at his best. But, you know.
That's the only thing I'm a little against is, like, the fact that it's not uncensored. And, like, yeah, like, he got on the Twins. There's, like, these twin chicks that are like kind of like their assistants and he gets on them and he you know, he's like just really fucking dying to rip into him. And he rips into him pretty good and makes him fucking feel like shit. But you know, Artie being Artie, like I you know, posted, I think on the Stern fan thing, I was like, imagine what Artie would do to Debbie, the pet lady. For Christ's sakes. Yeah. I mean, what he did to Crazy Alice. Oh, he would fucking annihilate her. I think every show kind of needs an Artie. Like, across
and
the board.
And he had the early ones with, when Eric the, at the time, Eric the Midget.
Oh,
would call
fucking
in.
Eric.
And yep. Artie would do the shit where
still
Eric would be making a point and he'd be interrupting him and saying,
hey, thanks for calling,
buddy.
Thanks
for calling.
Like, hey, thanks for calling, buddy.
All right, talk to you later. Have a good day.
All right, you little midget bastard.
So fucking funny, man. I catch Stern Show Shuffle every day just because I got to catch some of that Artie. And, you know, they mix in a lot of stuff with Jackie, too, obviously, which isn't as good but differently funny. But and the thing is, Scott Farrell, who does the sports show on Howard 101.
He's got a deal.
Monday through Friday from 8 to 12. He's leaving, so there's a lot of people on the different boards and things like that that are speculating as to what could or will replace him. Abe Cannon's a big talk there. It's a show I like. He's based out of Chicago. He used to be on terrestrial radio here in Richmond,
right. So
I like him. But you know, a lot of people are saying, well, what about Nick and Artie? They're on Sirius, but it's just being simulcasted on Sirius. So I think they're under contract to their current place for a couple more years. But it would be so good if they could put that show on that channel.
Oh, definitely. And then, you know, amongst that talk and stuff, another thing came up with, you know, the classic bit of Artie with the Robin Leach thing. It was like, 500 million grand.
Well, with Artie, too, it's almost like the best thing about him was when he would fight with people because it got vicious. I mean, it got to where, like, he got in a fight with Sal, and he threw a CD at Sal. He got in a fight with High Pitch Mike, and he almost took him down. You know, he got in a fight with Teddy's assistant, and he went after him. Like, they almost fired him over that one. You know, it's just like so much. And of course, now it's kind of sad when you realize just how fucked up he was at the time.
Of course. But the way he was just so comedically nonchalant with people,
is the fucking gem of Artie. Like, you know, he would get on there and he would just fucking no problem know that he's just riling people up to no extent and just having a ball with it. You know, what he did with the Iron Sheik, what he did with fucking Eric, what he did with Crazy Alice, who I value Crazy Alice far more than I ever do Debbie the Pat Lady. Fucking, she needs to go.
Here's how we kill on our show. Huh? Every whackpacker in the past, Crazy Alice, Crackhead Bob, Hank the Angry Dwarf, everyone in the history of that show was a fan of Howard Stern. Debbie the Pet Lady was not. She did an internet show that Sal and Richard pranked.
Yep.
And that was it. Without Sal and Richard, if Sal and Richard did not work there or did not do phony phone calls, Debbie the Pet Lady would not be around.
Imagine one of the Tradio guys just snapping and calling in every week.
Well, that's
kind of what you're looking at.
I think it's especially funny when they play one of those calls and they know and they say, so is this Sal or is it Richard? You know,
is,
like,
this
that's
Richie? Is this
that's
Richie? Is this Richie
and
thing
when they know who it is or when they see that it's like Sirius or it's from New York and they're like, oh, that's Howard Stern.
It's Cyrus Radio, isn't it?
You know, oh man, it was just. So much of that stuff is fucking great. I was talking to someone earlier about the phony phone call where they ordered pizza using an auto tuner.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear that one?
Need a pepperoni! Oh, yeah, it was great stuff. Definitely. The auto tune stuff is fantastic. The classic
but
stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's we're having a good time doing it. You know, it's a bummer. It's a real bummer that Brianne's not doing it with us anymore. But, you know, it'll still be a good show going forward.
Well, if you want to add another, you definitely got to get you an Artie. Like I said, every show needs an Artie. You need one jerk off. Just one person to go, yeah, anyway, I thought it fucking sucked. Hey, thanks for calling, buddy.
Well, you know, we did the show without Brianne last week because there was a scheduling conflict. And, I mean, it worked out pretty well, so we're going
to
stick with her and I for now. See how that works out.
Okay.
Because, you know, why bring someone else in that we don't really know?
I hear you. But you're great, because you guys are so nice, and you just get one jerk off in there. Just balance it out real good.
Yeah, and I mean, we're pretty good. In the time we've been doing this, we've had one bad caller. And I marked him on my Skype as do not answer.
My fault.
No, not you. So if this person happens to call again, then I don't have to answer it.
Right. No,
what it was this guy was asking if we liked the black-on-black show, which we don't because it's pretty terrible, not because we're racist or anything. But that's what he said, was that it's because we're racist.
Okay.
It's like, no,
well, yeah,
it's a terrible show. That's it.
I want to give the plugs out because I only have so much time even recorder-wise left. So I guess I figure I'll wrap this up, try to fucking actually make work tomorrow. And, you know, I'd rather you give your plug to me because you're going to be more accurate about it.
Yeah. Check us out, Stern Nation. New episode should be posted tomorrow night. If not tomorrow night, Friday afternoon. iTunes, Stitcher. Vote for us on the Stitcher Awards, which are going on now. They're taking nominations. And anyone out there who likes our show, or even if you don't like our show and you just don't have anyone else to vote for, go ahead and vote for us.
Stitcher.
We're Best New Show. Where we could be Best New Show. Entertainment. In entertainment, we actually hit the top 30 every week. So, yeah, check us out there.
Fantastic. That's what it is. My other plugs, definitely always Wrestling Soup. I mean, WrestlingSoup.com, that's what they do fucking Thursday nights, 10:15. You always check them out. They're, you know, the reason why I have half the, you know, friends that I have podcast-wise. You know, I met Andrew through that and so many other people, and they're definitely the epicenter of what this whole thing has become. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is a really great podcast family that we have here. You know, with
it
you
sure
and
is.
Us and Wrestling Soup and everyone else you're about to mention. I just feel very fortunate to have all these people who, you know, who willingly plug our show, and, you know, even those who don't like Howard Stern listen to our show, get enjoyment out of our show, and I just feel very fortunate. That's all.
Me too, man. It's really unbelievable what it's done for me and everything else. The Sports Den, I should have had two scoops on earlier tonight, but Blog Talk decided to put something in my asshole, and I never planned that. So, you know, next week, hopefully, two scoops will be on. I also have a really big interview next week that I won't reveal to anybody until next week happens, and then I'll do that. But yeah, we'll do that thing with two scoops sometime next week, the football thing. We'll do the whole thing. Check out Sports Den for sure. It's like Ustream/channel/Bucks/fan Kool-Aid Sports Den. They got a lot of slashes in there. Just check out Sports Den on the Facebook. The Sports Den group on Facebook, and they'll give you the lowdown. What else? Women Love Wrestling. They might have dropped two. See, these people confuse me. Everybody confuses me. They keep switching their links, their plugs. And I'm just trying to help y'all out. Women Love Wrestling 2, or maybe just Women Love Wrestling. Check all of that out. Like WLW, or just WLW2, or... But it's like blogtalkradio.com/WLW2. If that shit don't work, just drop the 2 and try that shit. I don't know. They're in a transition as well. But check them out. Lovely ladies from Canada. They put on a great show. Check them out. They're on the same night as me, so you got to just put it on iTunes. Put all this shit on iTunes. Just update your roster, you know?
And I so rarely listen to a show live.
Right? Me too. Two Moms, One Show, Tuesday nights. I painfully produced that. That's my girl Nina and Tink, Mish's girl from Wrestling Soup, obviously, for those who don't know. They have a good time. They do their thing. It's a whole different type of show, and a lot of people enjoy it, so why not do that? Another show I promised I would plug, just because, you know, I listened to their shit and they heard my shit or whatever. Not quite, you know, inner family or anything like that. But for those people who do like the Joe Rogan show, the Joe Rogan podcast, in the rotation is Vito Tomaselli, for those who know the Tomaselli brothers from wrestling, indie wrestling, and Ben Jordan. They do a thing together, and it's kind of like Joe Rogan-ish. They talk a lot of conspiracies. They talk a lot of different things, but they get into some pretty deep shit for those who like that type of thing. And it's like Spreaker.com/ITR Live. They do pretty good. Like I said, Nick and Artie, they don't know shit about me, but, you know, I think they do a great thing. I'm always a fan of Adam Carolla.
But speaking of Nick and Artie, right now Dave Bautista's on there.
Wow, it's fucking fantastic. Are they recording right now?
Yeah, they're on 10 to 2.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they were that late. We're South Ferrari, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, hey, with Artie, though, there's talk that he might come in and do an interview on Howard later this year, because he's got his new book coming out.
I fucking hope so. Be kind of awkward, though.
Yeah, it would be awkward. I think Howard actually considers the atmosphere there a large reason for what happened to Artie. So if he doesn't come in, Howard's going to put the stop to it.
Right. Well, you know, it is what it is. You know, like I said, I always listen to Carolla. I always listen to Bill Burr. Howard Stern always first and foremost. And I think I'm just going to wrap it up. And, I mean, thanks for coming on, Andrew. I definitely have been wanting you on for a long time now. And,
yeah, it's hard to match up, so, yeah. And thanks to Two Scoops for inadvertently letting me fill in for him.
not a problem, dude. Like I said, I've been wanting you on for a minute. I mean, you know, a personal friend of mine off the air and all that. And you're welcome anytime, brother. And, good luck on your show tonight, man. Tomorrow night. Oh, yeah, tonight at this point.
Yeah, at this point.
Lisa Meyer. So yeah, man, good luck. Thanks for coming on. I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. And
yeah, man, talk to you soon.
Awesome. Night, man.
All right, later.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what it is. That's my dude over there. Fantastic stuff. I'm gonna play another track right quick. Cause I think I have the amount of time to still play a track, and I'm gonna do that. I played that. Let's go with some... No, that's way too long. Let me go with this one, and then I'll take it to the home.
All this love in my heart.
In my heart, y'all.
I'm sure it's enough to make a star. Mm. All it takes is one day.
Uh-huh.
And it's just only one.
Yeah.
All this love in
Night
my
wonder.
Heart.
Night wonder. Sean P.
I'm sure it's enough to make a star.
Just play. Here we go, y'all. Hey, yo. I love selling Knicks at night. Go home to my son, roll his flip, and watch Nick at night. I love it with my bitch cook. Come home to a hot meal. It's not real, the bitch can't cook. I love them bullets I sent you. You know what's up, I'm broke as fucking nigga to rent to. I love my mom's in a drug habit. I love a double jointed bitch up in my craftmatic. I love snatching niggas, Joseph on the mass transit. I love busting in your mouth, I know you can't stand it. I love it. I love it when you bob your head to this. At the same time, giving your guard head in the whip. I love it when I'm with wife and you say nothing. Right under her nose, I'm right under your clothes, and I love it. Little slick bitch. In my heart, y'all.
I'm sure it's enough to make a star. All it takes is one day. And it's just on your mind.
Oh, yeah,
y'all. All this love in my heart.
I got heartburn.
I'm sure it's enough to make a star.
I love fist fights with brass knuckles. I love to get right with the fifth and make your ass buckle. Bong bong. I love mushrooms. I love the puff boom boom. Love living with you though it ain't mushrooms. I love when you say my song is corny. At the same time hugging my nuts and God stay horny. I love the flow, dog. Tell me about it, the hoes. I love the raw dog. Tell me some valid, you know. I love Martin Luther. Love Malcolm X. Love Knots Landing, love Falcon Crest. I love wallabies, I love trees just as much as I love collard greens and cheese, bitch, I love it. Yeah.
In my heart,
y'all.
I'm sure it's enough to make a star. All it takes is one day.
Yeah.
And it's just on your mind.
Yeah.
All this love in my heart.
I got heartburn. Shit. I love to punch street niggas. Rude awakening, food is taking lunch meat niggas. Y'all motherfuckers phony. The farmer told me to knock y'all niggas out quick and pony your palmer. Show me your dollar. Nigga, I show you the llama. The bullet blow, throw holes in your armor. Blam, blam, damn, bam. You fucking with the grown ass man. Couldn't picture my life different on Kodak cam. I'm on your block in a towback van. Jumped out with a new gun. Hold that fam. Bah. Sean Price, past, present, and future. Better late than never. Whatever I see you, I shoot you. I love it. Get your guns, nigga. I love it. Don't slap me 5, nigga. I'll slap you 9, nigga. Fuck out of here.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
And we're taking over. And we're taking over. And we're taking over.